me this Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. for more dating tales and dating nightmares with our Lady Lana, and hear updates from our former gang member, Robert X. We'll have a conversation with an Indonesian Muslim and hear about his experiences since 9/11. So don't miss us, Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. with me, Sheila Gale, Reality Radio, AM 540 KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Lou Miliano. It's more than the warrantless wiretapping of overseas calls to Al-Qaeda operatives. Now it's reportedly the blanket telephone records of millions of Americans. Telephone companies giving them up to the Bush administration, with the president today offering reassurances.
The intelligence activities I authorized are lawful and have been briefed to appropriate members of Congress, both Republican and Democrat.
But Chairman Arlen Specter at the Senate Judiciary Committee says he wants the phone companies on the Hill to answer some questions.
The danger is that privacy is being invaded, and that where you have millions of people involved, they're all not suspect or involved with Al-Qaeda, and you have billions of calls, it's a program of a big, big brother.
CBS News White House correspondent Peter Mayer says there are no plans to halt the confirmation of former NSA head General Michael Hayden as CIA director.
The White House says it's moving full steam ahead with efforts aimed at the quick confirmation of General Michael Hayden to head the CIA. But the latest report on Hayden's former outfit, the National Security Agency, has triggered congressional demands for more answers about what critics see as snooping and what the administration defends as a needed anti-terror effort.
Critics call it a $70 billion election year tax package the country does not need.
The average citizen gets little or nothing. We're not making the kind of investments in our country we ought to be making, and we're growing deeper and deeper and deeper into debt.
But Connecticut Democrat Chris Dodd's position did not hold sway. The Senate's voted in favor of a bill already cleared by the House. Pennsylvania Republican Rick Santorum says this is a tax reconciliation.
We're talking about growing the economy by investing in small businesses, by investing in people who are creating economic activity, who are creating jobs, who are building wealth, who are creating a better economy for all of us.
The bill extends tax breaks for investors and also is said to bring some fairness to middle-income earners increasingly nailed by the alternative minimum tax. Next stop, the president's desk for his promised signature. He was small for a heavyweight, but that never stopped Floyd Patterson from taking on the giants of his time. Good enough, says boxing writer Bert Sugar, to become the first two-time heavyweight champion of the world.
I think Floyd Patterson's knockout in 1960 of Ingemar Johansson to become the first ever heavyweight champion to regain the crown will be remembered as the highlight of his career.
Sugar notes Patterson wasn't big enough to avoid taking beatings from Muhammad Ali and Sonny Liston. Patterson died today at his home in upstate New York, 71, Alzheimer's and prostate cancer. And across the board tumbled today of the Dow, the NASDAQ, and Standard & Poor's on the heels of resurgent oil prices and renewed concern over interest rates. The Dow lost 142, the NASDAQ dropped 48, and the S&P 500 fell 17. This is CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Hard as it may be to imagine, there are individuals in this world who have a passion for accounting. That's right, accounting. The accountants at Grant Thornton were such folks. It's their passion for what they do, their expertise and partner involvement, that have made them one of the largest accounting organizations in the world, with member firms in over 100 countries. Maybe that's why their clients are so passionate about them. Grant Thornton, a passion for the business of accounting. This is Charles Osgood, and I'll see you on the radio on the Osgood File.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, phishing attacks, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And there's only one way to stop them.
With Barracuda Networks, spam, spyware, and IM firewalls. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Networks firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 30,000 companies and leading universities are Barracuda Networks customers. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
You think if you are afraid of something, you might prepare yourself. CBS News correspondent Bill Whitney says not when it comes to Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's is something Americans fear more than heart disease, stroke, or diabetes. That's according to a survey for the MetLife Foundation. But the survey found that nearly 9 out of 10 people have taken no steps to prepare for it.
They fear something, but perhaps they fear it and don't act to do something or to plan for the future because they don't perhaps know enough about Alzheimer's.
Sybil Jacobson is the foundation's president. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
You might want to think they'd make an exception, but no such thing by Oklahoma school officials in Holdenville at Holdenville High School. Senior Mike Luking recently graduated from Marine Boot Camp, pretty proud of the accomplishment, wants to wear his dress blues at his high school graduation. So far, school superintendent Shelley Gamble says sorry. School policy dictates a cap and a gown. I'm Lou Meligano, CBS News.
This Mother's Day, give your mother the gift that will last as long as a mother's love. Have a star named after her. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will send your mom a beautiful personalized gift package with her chosen star. You may also include a sterling silver bracelet and heart charm with your mother's name and star location engraved on it. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com so she'll have her gift for Mother's Day.
Musicians, this weekend, get a Gibson Custom Shop Les Paul, a complete Pro Tools recording rig, or a Pearl Master Series drum kit. And don't even think about payments for 15 months. Get the gear you need now with no payments and no interest for over a year. It's Guitar Center's Get the Gear, Don't Pay Till Next Year financing weekend. We're talking 15 months, same as cash, and all at the nation's guaranteed lowest prices. Plus, throw additional gear onto your ticket and get the same great financing deal. Guitar Center's Get the Gear, Don't Pay Till Next Year financing weekend. Don't miss it.
Ah, we laugh because otherwise we'd just be crying. Welcome to today's edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, monitored by the National Security Agency for content. Great to have you listening wherever you might be. We're on KRXA 540 Monterey, KGOE 1480 Eureka, KPHX 1480 in Phoenix, and we're the new kids on the block at 1240 Talk City. That's KSAC in Sacramento. And there is so much to talk about. We're going to talk about the most recent revelations about the illegal surveillance activities conducted by the Bush administration. Oh, I know the president says it's all legit. As if we'd believe that. We've also got plenty of other discussion points for you today. The Senate just minutes ago passed extensions of tax cuts. Still waiting for mine to trickle down from the last rounds. Also on today's program, Lawrence Korb is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He served as an Undersecretary of Defense in the Reagan administration, and so he is no dangerous lefty, but he's a brilliant guy. And he and Brian Katulis have put together a redeployment plan for Iraq. I also want to talk with him about the NSA spying, about the Hayden nomination to head the Central Intelligence Agency, and a number of other issues. Larry Korb will be with us in about half an hour. In our second hour today, our weekly visit with Scott Dick. He is our specialist on military and veterans affairs, having retired from the Army as a major. Scott will be with us for an hour. And then in the free speech zone, we open it up wide for your comments on the spying program, on the tax cuts, and on various other issues that we'll touch on along the way. Anytime you want to join the conversation, you are invited to do so. Just pick up your phone. And on the Central Coast, you can call me at 831-899-5792. Anywhere else, use the toll-free line, and I'll pay for the call. 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And if you'd like to get in touch by email, send it to Peter at peterbcollins.com. And that's the website where you can catch our live stream link and also the link to the archives for previous Peter B. Collins broadcasts. That's the website, PBC, peterbcollins.com. Nico Pitney standing in for Faz Shakir today. They are co-editors of the Daily Progress Report from the Center for American Progress in Washington. You can log on to receive it free in your email, like I do, at progressreport.org. Nico, how are you today?
Hey, good afternoon.
You waiting for tax cuts to trickle down to you?
I'm waiting. They're still trickling.
Maybe they'll just trickle down on you because you're inside the beltway there.
I hope not.
Well, we got the word.
They're massive.
We got the word just a few minutes ago that the Senate has matched the House. The House voted yesterday with 15 Democrats joining 229 Republicans to pass the $70 billion in tax cuts and extensions.
and the Senate on straight party lines, 54 to 44 today, with two senators not voting, approved those tax cuts, and presumably the president will sign them. And, Nico, this is stunning in so many respects, but it really does appear that the Republicans are desperate, as if they know their ship is sinking, and they're trying to secure as many valuables, things that they consider to be valuable, before the ship goes down. And here's the New York Times editorial today that describes it. A puzzling aspect of Congress' latest tax cut package is why its overwhelmingly Republican supporters believe that its passage will be a big win for them and their party. There's nothing in it for most Americans, and yet all Americans will pay its cost, $69 billion over the near term. How does this work in the Republican mindset, if you have any insight, Nico?
I think that they know that the headlines will end up, you know, being about tax cuts, and average folks reading the newspaper, you know, may well be duped into thinking that some of those tax cuts, any of them, will end up, you know, heading in their pockets. Mm-hmm. And you know, the unfortunate thing is that they passed several rounds of tax cuts, and it's and they feel like they've been able to bludgeon the press into covering them relatively favorably, and who knows, maybe they'll succeed again. Virtually nothing on their agenda right now is approved by the American public, so you know, for them, they're going back to the water hole, right?
And while I haven't seen a list of the Senate votes, I got an email from Dianne Feinstein's office today, and she was voting against it. And by the vote count, it appears that dinos like Joe Lieberman, who often vote with the Republicans, particularly on these issues, that Lieberman was either absent or voted with the Democrats today.
Yeah, I think the two that I know that the Nelsons, the Democrat, both Ben Nelson in Florida and in Nebraska, and then also Pryor, this Democratic senator from Arkansas, they were all kind of on the fence. You mentioned that 15 Democrats in the House had voted for it. Mm-hmm. It was actually expected that about 27 were going to vote for it just before the vote. So, you know, there was some arm twisting. Some apparently came around to their senses and woke up to the realization that we currently have a $423 billion projected deficit, and that passing $70 billion in new tax cuts isn't the right idea. And voted against those.
Has anybody pulled out a copy of the contract with America recently, Nico?
I don't think so. I certainly not many. I mean, it was an election gimmick at the time, and I don't think too many people rely on it anymore either.
Well, the Republicans in the contract all swore allegiance to not only a balanced budget, but a constitutional amendment to require one every year. And the amnesia that kicked in when W hit the Beltway is just astounding.
Yeah, and you know, there is a Senate rule that says that these tax packages can't increase the long-term deficit projections, and you know, basically they get around that by creating these really complex gimmicks, basically. Mm-hmm. Making their legislation appear as if within the next 10 years it won't add to the deficit, but then you know, after the 10-year limit that the projections are made for, you know, the deficit skyrockets, of course.
Yeah, and that's, as you explain in the progress report today, the bill allows upper-income taxpayers to convert ordinary individual retirement accounts into what are called Roth IRAs, in which savings are taxed at the time of deposit but can then grow tax-free. So I can take my untaxed money from my regular IRA, roll it over into a Roth IRA, so it won't be taxed on the way in, and then it won't be taxed on the way out. And this gimmick gives them on paper $6.4 billion that they can shave off the cost of the tax bill in the short term. But as you point out, an analyst, an independent one, said, for each dollar the government will collect in the short run, it will lose $1.60 or more. Hey, that's fuzzy math, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, and you know, the worst part is that the only folks who weren't eligible for these Roth IRAs were the ultra wealthy, and so they're basically, you know, they're offering it's yet another tax cut for the ultra wealthy, allowing them to get in on these Roth IRAs. They'll pay a little bit in taxes up front when they enter them, but then their cash can sit in there tax free and reduce government income.
Right. And then we have this thing called the alternative minimum tax, the AMT, and I can already feel listeners' eyes glazing over just at the mention of AMT. But this is an interesting little piece of legislation because it was originally intended to make sure that the ultra-wealthy paid some tax and couldn't use tax shelters and trusts and expensive accountants and offshore accounts and all that stuff to avoid paying any tax whatsoever. But it has become an onerous tax on people who earn between $75,000 and, I guess, up to about $500,000 a year. And what's interesting is that Congress keeps putting off a day of reckoning on the AMT because each year they overproject the revenue that they expect from it as a way of hiding deficits.
Exactly. I mean, this was actually a pretty progressive tax when it was first passed. It was a trap, essentially, for wealthy tax dodgers, people who are trying to avoid some tax. They set up this, that would force them to pay at least something. But it wasn't indexed to inflation. And so now it's hitting the middle class extremely hard. And you have, here Democrats are the ones who are pushing extremely hard to get this thing ended, who are trying to cut taxes for average folks, who are actually impacted by these taxes. And you have conservatives, continually putting them on. Mm-hmm. They included, 1 year of relief on this AMT tax in the bill that just passed, but after a year, everything goes back to how it was.
Yeah. All right, we'll pick up there as we continue, talk a little bit more about the tax cut bill that passed. And, of course, they didn't make any effort to project revenues to justify these extensions and new tax cuts that they passed. But, hey, fiscal responsibility, that's for the Democrats if they ever take back control in Washington. We're going to take a quick break and return with Nico Pitney from the Progress Report. If you want to join us, there are lines available at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540 here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a vibe of Venusian. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue, baby.
Being PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. The Tasty Planet Radio Show is sponsored by the Monterey Bay Aquarium's 5th annual Cooking for Solutions on May 19th and 20th. For ticket information, call 866-963-9644 or go to the web at montereybayaquarium.org.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. That makes me your humble host, Peter B. Coming up just about 10 minutes away from the Center for American Progress, senior fellow Lawrence J. Korb will join us. And we're talking to the guy down the hall right now at the Center for American Progress, Nico Pitney. He is co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, and you may have heard me say this before, but it's an excellent resource that takes a look at the important news of the day, with good analysis and what I would call counterspin links, so that you can look for the facts and see them for yourselves. And I think it's just an excellent resource. Nico, you folks ferreted out an item that I hadn't seen reported on anywhere else in the tax bill that, as we pointed out, passed the House yesterday and the Senate just this afternoon. And that is the corporate giveaway, the overseas corporate giveaway. How does this work?
Well, basically, massive corporations are using cheap labor abroad to take care of a lot of their financing work. So that, you know, they'll send forms over to the equivalent of call shops in various developing countries and use folks there to do their finance work. For some reason, Congress has decided that these massive corporations, we're talking GE here, Citicorp, large banking firms, deserve a tax break for sending those jobs abroad, and it's a large one. It's going to be worth about $4.8 billion. And actually, another piece that we didn't get in the PR today, but which is equally as outrageous, is that these oil firms have been given $6 billion in tax cuts. One of them by changing how they account for oil inventory. Another one, there are tax incentives in there for exploring for oil and gas. They apparently need tax incentives to do that, these oil companies. And that's another $700 million. So all of these were stuck in there today, too.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Now, I want to avoid confusing listeners here, but I want to throw something else at you that's not in the progress report today.
Yeah.
And this relates to the $109 billion emergency authorization that was originally intended to provide supplemental funding for Iraq and Afghanistan. Again, this is off the books, so it doesn't affect the deficit configurations. But one of my blogger buddies, Steve Pizzo, at his site News for Real today, pointed out that under prior authorizations for Iraq and Afghanistan, reconstruction funds were described as relief and reconstruction funds. But the measure passed this week by the Senate redefines them as foreign operation funds. And here's what that does. Under law, if they're called relief and reconstruction, they are audited by a special team headed by a guy named Stuart Bowen. And this guy's a very tough auditor. He's the inspector general for Iraq and Afghanistan. But if it's designated as foreign ops money, then Bowen has no jurisdiction. And instead of his team of 55 auditors, you go to the State Department Inspector General, who has four auditors. And it's just amazing to see the trickery, the chicanery, the parsing of words, you know, like it depends what the meaning of is, depends what the meaning of relief and reconstruction is. And these people are shameless.
I mean, this hits on two big issues. One is that the awarding of federal contracts has become really one of the prime sources of government corruption. You know, the U.S. gives about $315 billion worth of contracts out each year. It's the largest buyer of goods and services in the world. And so, there's an incredible amount of money to be made here. And, there's been an explosion in the last few years of cronyism, fraud, waste, and abuse in these contracts. And clearly, virtually all of them end up being political supporters who have gotten these contracts. And the political supporters don't want oversight of it. And Congress is apparently helping out.
Now, while we're talking about inspectors general, there's an interesting flap that has surfaced over at HUD, Housing and Urban Development, where Secretary Alfonso Jackson apparently has been a little too honest about his practices of ignoring or rejecting contract proposals from people who declare that they don't really like the president.
This is another major story that the media has completely dropped the ball on. Here you have a cabinet secretary. He gives a speech, and out in the open to a whole group of small business owners, real estate officials, admits that he once gave a contract to someone. It was totally, on the up and up. The contractor made a good bid, and when the contractor came in, he said, "Hey, I don't agree with President Bush. I just want to let you know that." And just because of that statement, Alfonso Jackson canceled the contract. I mean, it's clearly completely improper and almost certainly illegal.
Yeah, and it's just, it shows the arrogance right now that these people seem to feel invincible, untouchable.
Yeah, and in the subsequent days now, he and his communications aide have made a bunch of statements. They're contradictory, and the press still isn't picking up on this, despite now they're not only apparently committing illegal acts, but now misleading about them and still,
Well, but his remarks were only anecdotal. Or did they mean anecdotal?
And by saying anecdotal, he meant to claim that they were made up, but anecdotal doesn't mean made up. It doesn't,
right.
You don't make up an anecdote. So,
well, it's like the president accused certain people, like from Guantanamo Bay and other detainees of disassembling. And, of course, there is a difference between lying and taking one's body apart piece by piece.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Hey, one more item here, Nico, in
Absolutely.
Today's progress report about Jack Abramoff and the White House visitor logs. Now, it's interesting because Judicial Watch, a right-wing organization, joined in with CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, which is nominally a little liberal, to demand these records. And there are inconsistencies now between what the White House has told us, what the Secret Service says, and what Jack Abramoff has claimed.
Yeah, I will note Judicial Watch also were the folks who sued Dick Cheney over his energy task force records. So they've had some background in taking on the most flagrant abuses of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
But here, the Secret Service logs that were released claim that Abramoff had visited the White House twice in 5 years. The White House itself has admitted he'd been there at least three times. And the two that were brought to light yesterday weren't any of those three.
Right.
So
yeah, we got to stop here, Nico, but I want to thank you for your work and recommend that everybody log on and read the progress report. And your colleague Lawrence J. Korb will join us next from the Center for American Progress here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Don't miss me, Air America radio host Tom Hartman, as I expose a top-secret CIA plan, codenamed AM World, on nationwide TV Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. In Conspiracy Files, JFK Assassination, a program produced by NBC for the Discovery Channel, I'll reveal CIA documents about a top-secret JFK plan to stage a coup against Fidel Castro that led directly to JFK's own death. Tune in tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Tom Hartman, that's me, on the Discovery Channel. There's a link at the top of TomHartman.com and AirAmericaRadio.com.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
It's so exciting, honestly, to just be back on the air. And this was a great victory, not for me individually or not even for the group that helped put this together, but for the community. And quite frankly, it really shows you that when we all bond together in a common cause, great things that can be done. I mean, Margaret Mead is the one who had that quote. She says, never let it be said that the work of a small group of committed people can change the world. For often, that's the only thing that ever has.
Mike Newcomb's Week in Review. Tune in Sundays from noon to 2, right here on KRXA 540.
This is KRXA 540 AM General Manager Hal Ginsberg with an important announcement about an exciting change in our weekday morning lineup. Casey, cut it out. This is very important. I'm trying to tell people about the show, our new program following Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings.
First of all, you're going to have to wake people up, Hal.
Haha, very funny. Just what we would expect from the number one morning news anchor in San City. So join Hal and Casey for the show.
I thought it was going to be Casey and Hal.
I changed it, which is my prerogative.
Your what?
Look it up! And please, join us weekday mornings from 9 to 10 for the show.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. I'm glad you're listening wherever you happen to be. Returning to our program this half hour is Lawrence J. Korb, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and a senior advisor to the Center for Defense Information. He served in the Reagan administration as an assistant secretary of defense and was a senior fellow and director of national security studies at the Council on Foreign Relations, among other items on his impressive resume. Larry Korb, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Nice to be back with you.
Well, there's too much to talk about, sir. And let's start with General Hayden's nomination and what is now an increasing distraction, the work that he did at the National Security Agency. And certainly the White House can't be pleased at the leak today that shows
no, they,
that...
that the surveillance program is much broader, much bigger, and perhaps even much more illegal than they have previously conceded.
Yeah, that's true. In fact, you saw that because the president himself came out today, you know, and objected to the, or I was objected to, or said that the USA story today about the increased surveillance didn't violate the law. But no, it does, I think, make it more difficult for General Hayden, because he had previously said, you know, he was operating everything, you know, strictly according to the law, and was a vigorous defender of what we knew previously about wiretaps, did not know about the fact that they were getting this information on phone numbers from the several companies.
Mm-hmm. I have the president's statement in front of me, and it was brief. Let's just go through the 4 points he lists. First, our international activities strictly target al-Qaeda and their known affiliates. Well, we don't know that. This is an assertion by the president. The individual members of the House and Senate intelligence committees who have been briefed on this are not allowed to talk about it. So
That's
we
right.
have no way of confirming the accuracy of this assertion by the president.
No, we don't. And, you know, if you take a look, though, how many members of al-Qaeda are there? A couple of thousand around the world. And, you know, if you take a look at these lists that have been turned over here, you're talking about millions of you know, people that they were looking at.
Second, the government does not listen to domestic phone calls without court approval. This is hard to believe, given what we do know about the NSA surveillance program, about the switches, the telephone company switches, which have kind of clean rooms where NSA officials have, or NSA officers have set up what we think are intercept points. And so this is pretty far-fetched. I can't declare it flatly untrue because, again, I don't know. But this is an assertion from the trust me president, and it's getting harder and harder to trust him.
Well, it is. And if you look at the opinion polls, even among Republicans, you know, his popularity is going down.
Third, the intelligence activities I authorized are lawful and have been briefed to appropriate members of Congress, both Republican and Democrat. Now, that may be true now, but it wasn't true a couple of months ago.
No, and of course, the whole question about lawful, there is a law on the books, the 1978 Foreign Intelligence Act.
Surveillance Act, yes.
Yeah, Surveillance Act that sets up the, you know, the court that you have to go to. And we know it's a fact that when in the Patriot Act, they wanted to put in the provision, you know, that would say they didn't have to go to FISA. It was objected to, so it didn't get in the act. So they must have been thinking about it ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. And fourth, the president asserted, the privacy of ordinary Americans is fiercely protected in all our activities.
Well, again, I think the proof is going to be in the pudding. And, you know, we have never, you know, had the full hearings. I mean, the Congress has really not had the, you know, the full hearings on this to find out if, in fact, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Larry Korb, you came out of the defense side, and there's natural tension between defense and the Central Intelligence Agency, and it was intended that way. The CIA is supposed to be a civilian agency. And from your perspective and with your history, are you uncomfortable with a four-star Air Force general, even if he resigns his commission, taking the top post at the agency?
Well, I think at this time it's not the best choice. We have had, you know, generals and admirals there before. So that's not an issue. For example, Admiral Turner was the head of the CIA from 77 to 81, and as far as we know, he did not, you know, get in bed with the Pentagon or anything like that. So I think it's just at this particular time, given the problems we have in reorganizing the defense the intelligence community, setting up a new director of national intelligence, Rumsfeld, who was, you know, even at 43, was described by Kissinger as the best bureaucratic infighter he's ever seen, who has grown more powerful over the years. I don't think it's the best thing that we can be doing at this time.
Well, also, General Hayden comes from a position as the number two to the new DIA, John Negroponte. And just on the face of it, that demotes his role. I mean, he's taking a demotion, essentially, to become head of the Central Intelligence Agency.
Well, I think that's an important point. The CIA is no longer what it used to be. I mean, the head of the CIA's main title was a director of Central Intelligence. He doesn't have that anymore. And if you go back to just sort of the human intelligence, the Pentagon is basically setting up their own human intelligence groups now and sending, you know, people in on the ground without even informing the ambassadors in certain countries.
Larry Korb is with us from the Center for American Progress on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, Larry, what about the politics of this? This is a poke in the eye with a 2x4 for this administration to think that given the revelations about the surveillance program, even before today's phone records revelation by USA Today, hardly known as a muckraking newspaper,
yeah.
That, you know, they're doubling down. They're basically saying, we're going to jam this guy through, and it could become a way of cleansing us of any problems related to the spying program before. Because, after all, if the architect of it is confirmed by the Senate for a new job, is that not stating that, you know, he has no significant baggage?
Well, I think it is, and it's also, I think they believe that the American people, basically, because of what happened on September 11th, are willing to compromise their civil liberties. And they thought by getting General Hayden out, bringing this issue up again, it would help, you know, them recover from their, you know, failing polls. What they didn't count on was, of course, the Republicans being upset about it. And what I thought was, to me, it's incredible that given the political problems that this administration has had in the last year or so, that they wouldn't have consulted ahead of time with the leading members of Congress before they sent this up. I mean, the fact that the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Peter Hoekstra, who is by no means some liberal Republican or anything, has been, said wrong man, wrong time, wrong job, I think is astounding.
Now, you're there inside the Beltway. Do your sources indicate that if this nomination goes sideways, they'll just say, oh, it was Harriet Meyer's idea?
Well, I think until the USA Today story today, I think it would have gone through because General Hayden is very well respected up on the Hill, and I think he would have gotten a majority. I don't think he would have got an overwhelming, you know, majority or anything, but I think this is going to give pause to people who might have been willing to give General Hayden the benefit of the doubt.
Here's a very interesting development. On Monday, Senator Feinstein, with whom I have some differences, I think she's often too quick to embrace this administration, she announced that she was leaning toward supporting the Hayden nomination, even before, you know, the ink was dry on the press release. And she said that, you know, it would be bad for the country. And Jane Harman, the House Intelligence Democrat ranking member, also chimed in with a similar message that, you know, we shouldn't allow these hearings to get diverted into an examination of the NSA surveillance program because it's too important that we need continuity at the agency and we need to, you know, get this nomination approved as quickly as possible. So today, Feinstein's office issued this statement, including excerpts from her comments to the Judiciary Committee earlier today. I believe we are on our way to a major constitutional confrontation on Fourth Amendment guarantees of unreasonable search and seizure. I think this is also going to present a growing impediment to the confirmation of General Hayden. So this is just 3 days, and, you know, again, it's the Republicans who are more likely to sink this nomination than any position from Senator Feinstein.
Well, that's true, and I think the fact that Senator Feinstein changed is very significant because she was, as you pointed out, leaning toward supporting him because he has a very good reputation. But this, I think, will be the straw that breaks the camel's back for those who had any doubts or even were leaning toward supporting General Hayden.
Mm-hmm. Larry Korb, we're about to take a break. Anything else you'd like to add on this issue? Because I want to shift to Iraq and Iran the next segment.
It's rather unfortunate because the CIA does need good new leadership that the president would take a risk like this because nobody wins in the end.
All right. We'll pick up in a moment. As I mentioned, we're going to talk about a document penned by Lawrence Korb and Brian Katulis from the Center for American Progress, Redeployment 2.0, Strategic Redeployment 2.0. And we'll also get his thoughts on the saber-rattling toward Iran. That's in our next segment here. If you have a question or comment, get on the line now. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast, or call me toll-free. 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
In appreciation of the hard work and selfless dedication of mothers everywhere, and in honor of Mother's Day, Angelina's Bakery, Deli and Cafe on Fremont Avenue in Seaside invites you to participate in a Mother's Day raffle. Prizes include a gift basket, a cake that will serve 20 people generously, and a beautiful floral arrangement. Visit Angelina's this week to enter the raffle and guarantee a chance to win. A wonderful Mother's Day gift specially delivered by Angelina's Bakery. And remember, the total bill on every food order at Angelina's between now and Mother's Day will be discounted 10%. Treat yourself to the best. Visit Angelina's today at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, just across from Craig and Auto Parts in Seaside. Angelina's Bakery wishes you the very best for Mother's Day and every day.
You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Coming up in our second hour today, the weekly appearance by Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. He'll be on with us in the next 15 or 20 minutes. We continue now with Lawrence J. Korb, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, and among his many accomplishments, he served as Assistant Secretary of Defense in the Reagan administration back in the 1980s. And, Larry, before we get to the ideas that you and Brian Katulis have been promoting there at the Center for American Progress, just a quick question. One of my blogger buddies posted an item today describing some very interesting change in language in the now $109 billion supplemental authorization, the bulk of which is intended for Iraq and Afghanistan. And what he said is that the language was changed from describing the funds as relief and reconstruction to describing them as foreign operations. And he argues that the reason is if they're R&R, Relief and Reconstruction, they would be audited by Stuart Bowen, who is the Inspector General for Iraq and Afghanistan. But if they are described as foreign ops funds, it's the State Department Inspector General who would have the audit authority. And the blogger here describes it like the Mayberry Police Department. He said they have a $1.3 million budget and four auditors as compared to the 55 auditors that Bowen has at the Iraq Inspector General's office.
Well, I think if that occurs, then I think the Congress, you know, can correct the language, and hopefully somebody will, you know, point that out to them, because the Congress has taken the lead in making sure that we do have an inspector general over there. This was not the administration's idea. In fact, they kept saying, well, we're too busy to be worried about things like that, or, you know, this is too dangerous. And Bowen, interestingly enough, is an old Texas crony of Bush who he's surprised everybody when he's gone over there. Yeah, I mean, this is, yeah, because this is, you know, not an existing government agency or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. All right, up next, you get to choose the country, Iraq or Iran first.
Well, I mean, they're both complicated. I mean, let me talk a little bit about our Iraq plan. And what we did, we call it 2.0 because we first put it out in late September.
I recall.
And basically, it says a couple of things. A, you need to give the Iraqis an incentive to get their act together. And if you don't have a specific timetable, they'll keep using us as a crutch and not doing, you know, what they, you know, what they need to do. And by giving a timetable, give them an incentive, it will also diffuse part of the insurgency, because a lot of the insurgents are fighting not because they want to reestablish, you know, Osama bin Laden's, you know, 6th century caliphate or anything. They just want us out of Iraq, and they don't believe we're going. And until we set a date and announce we do not want any permanent bases there, you'll keep, you know, that part of the insurgency going. But, you know, people, it's not a retreat plan, because you're going to stay in the region in case Iraq should, you know, somebody should try to invade it like Iran or Turkey, or it should become another haven for al-Qaeda. We would leave ground forces in Kuwait and put a Marine Expeditionary Force and a carrier battle group in the Persian Gulf to safeguard our interests. And we really feel if you don't do this, you're going to really undermine your army. You're going to weaken your ability to deal with other threats. Afghanistan is not going well. You'll keep your guard over there instead of over here to guard the the homeland, and you really do risk, I think, an outbreak of isolationism in this country if you keep on with this, you know, failed policy in Iraq.
But I certainly respect what you've done here, and this is delivered tongue in cheek, Mr. Corr. But didn't you hear about the president's plan for victory?
Yes, we've been hearing about it for 3 years, and that's the problem. I mean, the plan is not working. And, you know, right now our security is in the hands of the Iraqis. We're saying, you know, we'll, you know, when you stand up, we'll stand down. A great power should never do that, because right now we're a victim, a hostage to events. If a civil war breaks out and our young people get caught in between it, we'll end up killing the people we came to save.
Well, and al-Maliki, the new prime minister designate, is now advancing a plan to put all of the security forces, the army and police, into the same uniforms with the same identification cards. And I understand the motivation there, because we saw the report just the other day that they're now vigilantes who post themselves or representatives in certain neighborhoods at night. And they are there to protect themselves from the forces of the Interior Ministry.
That's
so
right.
So we really do have a civil war going on here, whether it is acknowledged or not. And it's virtually impossible for American forces, given all the limitations we have, including cultural and language barriers, to believe that, you know, we can pull these warring parties apart, tell the difference between a Shia and a Sunni and an al-Qaeda insurgent, and make sense of it all. And it simply isn't going to work out that way, in my opinion. And I think what you have is a workable plan. Are you getting backing from Democrats or Republicans on the Hill?
Well, I think we are. When we first put it out back in September, you know, it was very novel then. I mean, since then, you've had, obviously, Congressman Murtha come out with his plan. You've had then right after us came out, Senator Biden talked about getting out at 2000 by the end of 2008. Senator Kerry has said get out by the end of 2006. So you've had, I think, people moving to set a specific date, recognizing that you need to provide this incentive. And the other incentive you need to provide is for the Iraqi security forces. I mean, until there's a government of national unity that they all support, they're going to be more worried, loyal to their tribe, to their ethnic group. And, people talk about we have to train them. We're not trying to train them to fight the second coming of the Russian army or anything. We're trying to deal with 20,000 tops insurgents, and there's over 250,000 security forces already.
Well, it is quite a difficult situation, and I wanted to ask your thoughts on Senator Biden's op-ed in the New York Times maybe 3 weeks ago now, mm-hmm. where he talked informally about partitioning the nation into Kurdish, Shia, and Sunni zones.
Well, Senator Biden would tell you it's not partition, it's a loose federation, but you're right, he wants a weak central government. I have no problem with it, but I don't think we should be telling the Iraqis. What we recommend in our plan is to convene a conference in Geneva under the UN, like we did, if you remember, the Dayton Accords to resolve to stop the killing in the Balkans.
I think we should make them go to Crawford and work it out.
Okay, in the summer.
Yeah, it's even worse than Dayton. Larry Korb, now let's talk about our posture toward Iran. And what do your sources tell you? Sam Gardner, the retired Air Force colonel, was on our program the other day, and his sources indicate that we already do have American uniform, maybe they're not in uniform, but American service members in Iran, he believes, in the southern portion of the country, and also some mercenaries who are former members of the MEK, a kind of shadowy warlord group in Iraq that, we changed their name and changed their uniforms and acted like they weren't terrorists, which would violate our own laws, mm-hmm. if we employ terrorists. So what is the status of military operations aimed at Iran?
Well, I mean, we are trying to get information about what's going on in Iran, where the facilities are, how deeply they're buried, how dispersed they are. And I would not doubt that we probably have special forces people in there and, not in uniform, trying to get that information. And the president has refused even to take the nuclear option off the table. In other words, us using nuclear weapons against them.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's no good military options. I mean, if you bomb them, you're not going to get them all. Number two, you've got to talk to them directly because, from an Iranian point of view, when they had a democracy, we overthrew it. In the war after Iraq attacked them, we backed Iraq. The president, in his axis of evil speech, basically said, they're going to be next before they could get nuclear weapons. So we shouldn't be surprised that we need to talk to them, and they're, going down this path. And I think you have to be very careful and say, well, we can't live with a nuclear-armed Iran. We've lived with worse. And people say, well, these guys are crazy. It's not like the Soviet Union, for example. They've been very, very cautious in the way they've dealt with it. I mean, they mm-hmm. were willing to settle that war with Iraq even after Iraq used chemical weapons against them.
Yeah.
And while they do support terrorists, they've never given Hezbollah any of their chemical weapons, for example, to use against the Israelis. So,
if you could, Larry, I'm sorry we're tight for time. Two
sure.
points finally. Do you have any sense of a timeline when we might unleash military action against Iran? And do you believe that the letter that came from Ahmadinejad this week was a significant opening?
Well, I do believe the letter was significant in the sense that he was communicating directly with the President of the United States, and I think we ought to follow up by starting direct talks. I don't think you'll see, they're going to let the UN process play out. They have to, given the mistakes we made in Iraq. So I don't think you'll see any military action imminently.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure to talk
sure
with
thing.
You. And please keep up the good work. That's Lawrence J. Korb, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress in Washington. If you want to find out more about him and his work, log on to AmericanProgress.org. Coming up next, Scott Dick. He retired from the Army as a major. He is our contributor on military and veterans affairs. He runs our Rummy Watch, too. Scott Dick is coming up next right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can visit my website, peterbcollins.com.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Furor over phone records.
The danger is that privacy is being invaded.
Mild-mannered boxing champ Floyd Patterson dies.
Floyd Patterson was a soft and quiet man. It was almost as if he was in the wrong profession.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. USA Today reporter Leslie Cawley broke the story that since 9/11, the National Security Agency has been collecting phone call records on tens of millions of Americans.
It has been described to me as the largest database in the world. Also, a description given to me by a source was that the aim over time was to assemble a database of every call ever made. Every call ever made.
The report provoked angry reaction from Democrats and muted expressions of concern from some Republicans, including Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Arlen Specter.
When you have millions of people, according to the report, and billions of telephone calls, there's a fundamental issue of privacy.
He's planning hearings to ask the phone companies about their cooperation. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason has more on that.
The phone companies defended themselves today. If and when AT&T is asked to help, the company said in a statement, we do so strictly within the law. Bell South said it does not provide any confidential information to the NSA or any governmental agency without proper legal authority. And from Verizon, we do not comment on national security matters.
The White House moved quickly to limit the damage. President Bush made a statement. He didn't confirm or deny the story, but said,
the intelligence activities I authorized are lawful.
He said there's no eavesdropping on domestic phone calls without court approval and insisted the focus is on terrorists.
The privacy of ordinary Americans is fiercely protected in all our activities. We're not mining or trolling through the personal lives of millions of innocent Americans.
General Mike Hayden, the president's nominee for CIA director, led the NSA when the data collection reportedly started.
Everything that NSA does is lawful and very carefully done, and that the appropriate members of the Congress, House and Senate, are briefed on all NSA activity.
The White House says it's full steam ahead on Hayden's nomination. Now this.
Are your photos less than picture perfect? Then come into Office Depot today and get a great deal on a new digital camera, just in time for Mother's Day. Office Depot has its largest assortment of digital cameras ever, all featuring the latest technology. So hurry in, because now through Saturday at Office Depot, when you buy a digital camera over $199.99, you'll save $50 instantly.
Taking care of business.
Offer excludes clearance items and camera printer bundles.
Having a safe place to sleep is a universal need. Having a safe way to sleep should be just as important. When used as directed, Tylenol PM is a safe, non-habit-forming way to relieve pain with sleeplessness. In fact, no other OTC pain reliever is safer than Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM. Take only as directed.
Two-time heavyweight boxing champ Floyd Patterson died today at his home in New Paltz, New York. He'd been ill for years. He was 71. Floyd Patterson was 21 in 1956 when he first won the heavyweight title, only to lose it 3 years later in a bout with Swedish boxer Ingemar Johansson.
Patterson's corner tells Floyd to stay low and hold on if he can, but Patterson will be sent to the canvas 7 times as Johansson pulls the upset of the year.
But a year later, in a rematch, Patterson landed a knockout punch.
Anytime you take a beating like I did in the first fight, going down 7 times, you got to have an awful lot of respect for the fellow when you get in the ring with him the second time.
Boxing historian Bert Sugar.
I think Floyd Patterson's knockout in 1960 of Ingemar Johansson to become the first ever heavyweight champion to regain the crown will be remembered as the highlight of his career.
Patterson was known as a quiet, mild-mannered man who turned into a tiger in the ring. They said I was a fighter who got knocked down the most, he once remarked, but I also got up the most. In the Senate this afternoon.
The ayes are 54, the nays are 44. The conference report is agreed to.
Senators gave final congressional approval to the $70 billion Republican tax cut bill. It includes a 2-year extension of the reduced rate for capital gains and dividends, 15%, and it protects millions of families from the dreaded alternative minimum tax for another year. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Musicians, this weekend, get a Gibson Custom Shop Les Paul, a complete Pro Tools recording rig, or a Pearl Master Series drum kit. And don't even think about payments for 15 months. Get the gear you need now, with no payments and no interest, for over a year. It's Guitar Center's Get the Gear, Don't Pay Till Next Year financing weekend. We're talking 15 months, same as cash, and all at the nation's guaranteed lowest prices. Plus, throw additional gear onto your ticket and get the same great financing deal. Guitar Center's Get the Gear, Don't Pay Till Next Year financing weekend. Don't miss it.
Meet the Joneses. They're hard to keep up with. They like things fast. That's why they use Zantac. It's fast, like last night after dinner.
Heartburn?
Painful.
Zantac.
Thank you. And then later.
Better?
Completely.
Zantac's fast.
Zantac quickly relieves the toughest heartburn and more, like before the Joneses family barbecue.
Ribs?
Heartburn.
Zantac.
First?
Prevents.
Amazing.
Zantac's fast.
Zantac before meals prevents heartburn. Before or after. Maximum strength Zantac. It's fast. Uses directed controls heartburn in 30 to 60 minutes.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Next hour, we open up the phones to talk with you about the new information about what the NSA has been eavesdropping on, including your telephone records. And there's much more to talk about, the tax cuts passed by the House and today by the Senate. I'm sure the 1% of our listeners, the multi-millionaires, are really excited about it. And the rest of us, we got bupkis. If you'd like to talk with us, my lines are open for you all the time. On the Central Coast, it's 831-899-5792. And if you call me toll-free, we pay for the call on 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Every week we try to make time to visit with Scott Dick. He is our contributor on military and veterans affairs, retired from the Army as a major. And he is the guy who made the major discovery a couple of weeks ago when General Peter Pace blurted out what appears to be the truth about how long they were planning for the invasion of Iraq. And it flies in the face of the official story that, oh, they didn't really get down to it until after 9/11. Well, General Pace admitted, we think, the sad truth that they have been trying to keep from us for so long. Scott Dick joins us now. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing great today. How about you?
I'm doing fine. A little busy, but fine.
Yeah, good.
Hey, well, you know, Peter, that that op-ed has got no traction with two different news services, and I have ends with previously published authors working the editors, and still, after a month, nobody's so far been interested in picking it up.
This is the op-ed piece based on what I was just talking about,
exactly.
The way you connected the dots about what General Pace said and how it, well, it adds to the truth.
It was a simple 440 words. It's not even long.
Yeah. Well, it is stunning to me that the media really doesn't appear to be interested in that issue, and so much of the... This is a really broad-based problem in our media, but we don't look at context. We don't go back and examine how we got to where we are. And the Bush administration has benefited greatly from that, and this is just another example.
Well, the administration, they're experts at telling people, oh, what happened last month doesn't really matter. It doesn't make any difference this month. And our media, they're gutless cowards as far as I can say, with a few exceptions, like yourself, of course, and a few others that we know. But so far, I haven't seen anything that's been hardball, except Helen Thomas, and she's 77.
Yeah. Well, maybe you need to leak it to Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, I watched that. That was absolutely brilliant. And, and like I said before, it's just a shame that our hardest news comes out of a comedy show.
Yeah, it certainly is. Certainly is. Well, Scott, what's on your agenda today? Let's talk. Well,
let's talk about the NSA for a minute, because I'm not sure very many people know exactly what the NSA is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
They do something called technical intelligence, and that means everything that doesn't have to do with human, mm-hmm. H-U-M-I-N-T, and that means human intelligence. So if it flies or has some kind of electromagnetic signal, then they're in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage people to, in order to understand the NSA, to get the book called The Code Breakers. It was written in the 70s, and it was in response to World War II encryption information about the Enigma program that was finally declassified, Peter, in 1972.
Mm-hmm.
And The Code Breakers really explains what the NSA does, because nobody who's ever worked for the NSA or currently works for them can talk about it.
And how do we define the turf of the CIA, the NSA, and the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency? I know it exists, but I am very uninformed on what it does.
Well, the DIA is, of course, you know, is an arm of the DOD, Defense Department.
Right.
And their job is, I would say, if you're looking for some kind of military information along with geography, that would be something that the DIA would handle.
Mm-hmm.
And
so if you wanted information on the terrain of Iran for some forward planning, the DIA would provide that?
They would be involved in that sourcing, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
So if they wanted information on somebody talking on a cell phone, on a regular phone, they'd go to the NSA. And it's been a long time since I've been involved with these guys, but every person who works for any of those intelligence organizations, even if they're four-star generals and they retire, sign a non-disclosure agreement, mm-hmm. and they can be prosecuted. So it's always safest for people not to say anything, because people often get confused about or between what they know from open sources and what they know from their own classified access. And it would be dumb for somebody to start blabbing and thinking they're talking open and then, mm-hmm. you know, step over the line.
Well, I have to say I have deep respect for people who can maintain those distinctions. I'm capable of keeping some secrets, but I think I'd have a hard time if somebody, you know, gave me a dossier of classified information, remembering every little detail there that is considered classified, and then, you know, some years later I might try to talk about something and, you know, forget what the classified part was and what the open part was.
And then you get a knock on the door, especially if the administration was very sensitive to what you released, even if it wasn't important. They do have the power to classify anything, even if they take old documents out of the National Archives and reclassify them that have been open for a decade or longer, mm-hmm. and just give you a grilling. Take you away and give you a grilling for leaking classified information, which is a federal crime.
Now, to the extent you can tell us, when you served in the Balkans, was the NSA intercepting Slobo's phone calls?
I have no idea. I was so worried about my not eating peanut butter and bread as another third meal. I don't honestly know, Peter.
Yeah. Okay.
I was saw that so far above my pay grade in MOS that I can say that people read the Code Breakers, they just have to extrapolate 30 years, 40 years worth of technology, because they've always had the best of, if it's communications gear, the NSA has it. It's head and shoulders above anything that you and I can imagine, and they hire, recruit the most brilliant people out there to mm-hmm. work.
Like Benny. Benny is our mythical NSA minder, and every now and then we like to pause on the program here and thank Benny for his service to the nation and offer him our condolences on being assigned the task of listening to the Peter B. Collins Show every damn day.
He probably prefers to be called Benjamin, actually.
Yeah? Well, these are interesting times. So what is your take, then, on General Hayden's nomination as somebody who is imbued with more of the military Pentagon perspective? Do you think that the agency should be run by a civilian, and is his nomination problematic for that reason?
Those guys cross. They retire. They cross these organizational lines. They just pop up on one chart or another. They have the highest level of access to our nation's secrets, whatever they might be, and to go through that with a political appointee, my goodness, to get a background clearance now. One, it's backed up 2 years, by the way. So government contractors can't hire employees because they can't get a clearance. So their jobs up there. Oh, it's just pitiful. They've been underfunded, and it slowed the whole process down. At the same time, the train keeps rolling, and they don't, people get off the train, and they can't put new people, I hate that expression, up, by the way.
Well, that explains why they haven't pulled Karl Rove's clearances, because they don't have anybody to replace him with.
Well, one, and two, once he's under indictment, it's a good chance he'll lose access to classified material.
Well, our sources tell us that could come any day now. Well, Scott, we're going to take a quick break and return. We'll talk more about these issues. And if you have a question or comment for Scott Dick, he's with us this hour. So get on the line now, Central Coast 831-899-5792, or toll free from anywhere within the sound of my voice, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Here at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the Concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
In appreciation of the hard work and selfless dedication of mothers everywhere, and in honor of Mother's Day, Angelina's Bakery, Deli and Cafe on Fremont Avenue in Seaside invites you to participate in a Mother's Day raffle. Prizes include a gift basket, a cake that will serve 20 people generously, and a beautiful floral arrangement. Visit Angelina's this week to enter the raffle and guarantee a chance to win. A wonderful Mother's Day gift specially delivered by Angelina's Bakery. And remember, the total bill on every food order at Angelina's between now and Mother's Day will be discounted 10%. Treat yourself to the best. Visit Angelina's today at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, just across from Craig and Auto Parts in Seaside. Angelina's Bakery wishes you the very best for Mother's Day and every day.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
This is KRXA 540 AM General Manager Hal Ginsberg with an important announcement about an exciting change in our weekday morning lineup. Casey, cut it out. This is very important. I'm trying to tell people about the show, our new program following Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings.
First of all, you're going to have to wake people up, Hal.
Haha, very funny. Just what we would expect from the number one morning news anchor in Sand City. So join Hal and Casey for the show.
I thought it was going to be Casey and Hal.
I changed it, which is my prerogative.
Your what?
Look it up! And please, join us weekday mornings from 9 to 10 for the show.
KRXA 540 takes a look at traffic on the ride home. It's 419 now, and here's Amy Knight.
Problems out there to talk about, Peter. Traveling to Salinas, northbound 101 at Main Street. Getting reports of a two-car collision with Highway Patrol on scene. Looks like they're out there taking a report, but traffic a little slow as you pass the area. That's northbound 101 at Main Street. Yes. Also in the Santa Cruz County area, northbound Highway 9 at Kirby. Two-car collision. They're off the shoulder, though. Highway Patrol just arrived on scene, but expect a minor delay. No problems on Highway 17 this afternoon. Highway 1 has been clear through Santa Cruz. And getting reports of a new accident just now. Capitola Road at 7th Avenue. Looks like emergency crews are responding. REI's biggest sale of the year is going on now. Save up to 30% in every department. Visit one of REI's 8 Bay Area convenience locations or shop REI.com. Amy Knight with traffic.
Useless to resist us.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues this afternoon. Lines available if you'd like to talk with me or our military affairs consultant, Scott Dick, 831-899-5792 Central Coast or 888-579-2540. And we've got Dave on the line from Eureka this afternoon. Hello, Dave. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Scott, and Peter, you know, because I've been saying it for years, and usually at the risk of being thought a little bit Looney Tunes, that I have had hackers assigned to my phone and my computer now for several years. And
Dave, I have enough knowledge of that you have shared with me and some weirdness in your emails to say that something has been up and somebody has been in your email account. I don't think you're loony about that.
No, and I think it's becoming more and more credible. I think even some of the most skeptical are going to be saying, hey, maybe this guy's got something. Maybe he's onto something. A couple of them are very blatant.
Mm-hmm.
They like to let me know that they are. One of them even likes to make threats. So.
Is that the guy who signs it carnivore at FBI.gov?
Have you traced him down?
No, not yet. I'll ask Benny, though, as soon as he gets in touch.
Well, you know, Mark did. Mark was chasing down because my hackers jumped on the blog there at Radio Inside Scoop with me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were pretty so far out. He felt they were there to disrupt the program, and so he traced where they were from.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, just
what you're telling us right now, anybody who is prone to, you know, believe the government side and that sort of thing would say, oh, that's just a lunatic.
Yes.
And so it makes it easier for them to get away with these large-scale surveillance programs because the average person says, well, who'd want to go through my email or my trash? I mean, there's just nothing there.
Well, most of these hackers that were on the blog there got a Hotmail or a Yahoo address, but one of them, the threatening one, posted from an FBI ISP. So,
wow.
And Mark traced him down.
That's just amazing.
Anyway, your thoughts on it, huh?
Well, I believe you, Dave, because we've been in touch for a long enough time that I know you wouldn't make something like this up.
No, I know
and
that.
I also have come to believe that our government is not only capable of these kinds of things, but is probably doing them.
Yeah, I gave you one of my email addresses and password and had you go on as me to try to send a message to Common Cause. I am not allowed to correspond with Common Cause. And
yeah.
You had the same experience.
It was bizarre. Scott, do you have a comment?
No, I find it frightening and strange and disturbing and unsettling all at the same time. But if you go back into history, for example, the FBI surveillance, the illegal surveillance of Martin Luther King, we know it exists. And I don't think it stopped then.
Yeah.
I think, Peter, a lot of programs, what they call black programs, the secret programs, they're started and nobody stops them. You know, for years and years and years, the CIA, NSA budgets, those were black budgets. Those were not discussed in Congress, nor were they.
And nominally, they still are. Somebody blurted out the CIA budget last year. It's in the low $40 billion range.
Right, and that's a lot of moolah. And a lot of programs are started, and unless the president gets some kind of flack for it or he's personally advised, a lot of times, of course, the president gets clearance, but a lot of his advisors and things don't. Unless he turns the program off, that program just keeps running.
Yeah. Yeah, it is amazing. And I actually saw some of the surveillance logs and transcripts of wiretapped phone calls from the late 60s, early 70s, the COINTEL program that you're talking about that was run by J. Edgar Hoover. And I actually saw FBI memoranda that were initialed by Hoover authorizing these activities and also the counterintelligence efforts that were designed, in his words, to prevent the rise of a new black messiah. And they were particularly aimed at Jesse Jackson after they knocked off, well, they didn't knock him off, but after Dr. King was killed. I don't actually know who knocked him off, but I can't say with any authority that it was the FBI. Scott, let's shift to another topic that you wanted to mention today, which is European basing.
Yes, you know, Peter, what's happening is 1st Armored Division and the 1st Infantry Division are being sent back to the United States from their bases in Germany. One was based in Kreuznach and Würzburg, and the other one was based in, Wiesbaden. Moved from Kreuznach to Wiesbaden, now is coming back to the United States, and Würzburg now coming back to the United States, and some units are being disbanded altogether. At the same time, the United States is opening bases in Romania and Bulgaria. And they're arguing with the Kyrgyzstan over a base. They want to go from $2 million a year to $200 million a year, and we don't want to pay it. We got kicked out of Uzbekistan for interfering in their internal affairs. You know, we saw a thug and called them on it. Mm-hmm. But we'd already started doing business with this thug, but I guess somebody let the cat out of the bag and he kicked us out of the country.
What would be the benefit of moving our bases from Germany to Bulgaria, for example?
Well, I think the number one benefit is a pliable local national government. That would be number one, strapped for cash. The second thing is the cost of operating in the old Europe, if you will, in the words of Donald Rumsfeld.
Thank you very much.
Is the high cost of everything that we have in Germany. They have schools and commissaries and big bases, and they're paying for a lot of legacy programs. For example, when they close a base, I personally saw them continuing to build the brand new giant commissary because it was cheaper to build it than it was to cancel the contracts.
Uh-huh.
So they turn those buildings over to the Germans. The Germans aren't happy about losing the billions in free money they get from us, but they're happy that it's relieved some of their housing shortages. I was there the last year in Berlin, for example, and while it was still a base in Berlin, and the Germans, they were already just swarming over the American military housing, couldn't wait to get the bureaucrats because they're getting ready to move the capital to Berlin.
Right.
So I think the pliable cash-strapped governments of Bulgaria and Romania are the single biggest factor.
Do you think this has anything to do with the so-called gulag, the detention centers that we have? We know that Romania and Bulgaria are two countries that have been named. Once again, we don't have incontrovertible evidence that that's where we have set up these detention centers where torture might take place, but that is widely reported.
Well, cash, you know, money talks, and so those countries are building a democracy. They have a history of having their own gulags. They've only been free of communist shackles, and I use that term with a smile, since 1989. So it's not exactly that they have had 60 years of democracy, and now their own government is going against those, you know, propensities. I think they're just looking at it as a cash opportunity, and they would probably do anything that we asked them to if the money was right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other repercussions? Will we have a net gain of troops coming home and fewer soldiers deployed in Europe?
Yes, there's going to be a huge couple of 100,000 coming back to the United States. Well, 100,000, I think, is the estimate between troops and family members, and they're going to be located in places like Fort Bliss and Manhattan, Kansas. That's Fort Riley and Fort, the one down in Texas. Mm-hmm. The name escapes me. And then the Marine Corps is moving, believe it or not, from Okinawa to Guam in the biggest base realignment since Vietnam, and they're haggling with the Japanese over the $10 billion bill to move those troops, those Marines, from Okinawa to Guam. That's going to be something new for the Marine Corps and for everybody who's used to this global landscape. You know, we know where our bases are. They publish books where our bases, you know, for example, military retirees can fly from this base to this base to this base, and that base is starting to change.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it'll be good. The money will stay in, you know, at least in American protectorate.
Well, and I guess in Okinawa we had one too many wayward GIs raping civilians and kind of wore out our welcome there. Scott, we're going to take a break and return. Listeners, if you'd like to talk with Scott Dick, he's with us for another half hour. Join us toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Kia Rio 5 SX, a fuel-efficient subcompact that's affordable for even a first-time car buyer. The Kia has a fuel-injected 1.6-liter four-cylinder engine and a four-speed automatic. It keeps right up with the big dogs. Like many Americans, I've been skeptical of the quality of Korean-made cars. But I have to tell you, they're getting better. And the 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty is very attractive. My Rio has all the accessories you'd expect in a low-end Nissan or Honda, like AC, power windows and locks, and a decent stereo. By the numbers, the 2006 Kia Rio 5 gets 29 miles in the city, 38 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $16,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Every business wants more functionality, efficiency, and flexibility from their document imaging technology.
Sharp, multifunctional products with open systems architecture, MFPs, that do more than just copy, print, fax, and scan.
Sharp's open systems architecture seamlessly integrates the MFP with your business applications,
giving you a gateway to your network. From the convenience of the MFP's customizable LCD panel for fast, flexible access to documents from anywhere in the office.
Sharp MFPs also enable you to effectively track usage, eliminate repetitive tasks, and streamline workflow.
Sharp Document Imaging Technology.
Functionality, accessibility, efficiency.
Sharp MFPs, awarded most IT-friendly by leading industry analyst Buyers Lab.
Tri-County Business Systems, solutions that connect with you since 1981. Located in Salinas at South Main and Acacia Streets. Call 1-800-339-6216.
Hey, Sheila Gale here from the number one reality radio show at KRXA. Join me this Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. for more dating tales and dating nightmares with our lady Lana and hear updates from our former gang member, Robert X. We'll have a conversation with an Indonesian Muslim and hear about his experiences since 9/11. So don't miss us, Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. with me, Sheila Gale, Reality Radio, AM 540, KRXA.
Yow! Yeah!
I am Peter B. Collins. Welcome to the PBC show this afternoon. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with us. Scott Dick, our contributor on military veterans affairs. You can call us on the Central Coast at 831-899-5792 or at 1-888-579-2540. And we always like to encourage our present and past military members to join the conversation here. And if for whatever reason you wish to obscure your identity, we understand, and you can call and be Bubba or Benny or any name you choose, but we welcome your participation here. Again, the toll-free number at 1-888-579-2540. Scott, on our program, we've been talking a lot about Iran in the past few weeks, and we've had a couple of interesting conversations. Larissa Alexandrovna, who is a reporter at rawstory.com, has been dogging this story and come up with some very interesting angles and developments that have largely escaped coverage in the electronic and corporate media. And a couple of days ago, Colonel Sam Gardner, Air Force retired, was on our program. And he has been focused on this quite heavily and has a lot of sources in the active military. And he painted a scenario that we are building up our forces. We are bringing three aircraft carriers to the Persian Gulf. One is there now, and two are expected to arrive in the next 10 to 14 days. And what he describes is a very powerful, limited duration, mostly air attack using bombs and missiles, to try to destroy the alleged nuclear facilities of the Iranians. And also, it appears, the attempt will be to destabilize the government in Tehran by blowing up command and control and key government facilities. And I wanted to ask for your expertise on the planning portion of this. You and I talked on the phone the other day, and I mentioned this powerful new book, Cobra 2, from Michael Gordon of the New York Times and General Bernard Traynor. I'm inching through it, and Michael Gordon will be on the program next Monday. I'm looking forward to talking with him. But it was fascinating for me to read the details of Tommy Frank's negotiations with Rumsfeld over the character of the force to be used, the timing of the invasion, and in fact, to tie together with what you described in Peter Pace's Unintentional Honest Moment. This book does describe the build-up starting after 9/11, but Rumsfeld had issued orders to Franks and CENTCOM to be prepared for an invasion as early as the spring of 2002. So there are a bunch of questions in there. Let me give you a couple of minutes to respond.
Well, first, you know, my first comment as you're talking is this is a traditional mistake. Ever since Doolittle, people think that airborne artillery is the answer to what is definitely not a technological problem. This is a boots-on-the-ground kind of problem. So they're going to once again approach this with air power. It's just artillery from the air, and it's as far as I'm concerned, all it's going to do is stir up a really, talking about fire ants, the Iranians are much more capable than the Iraqis are or were.
Yep.
And this is just going to stir the pot, and it's going to create a lot of political and diplomatic fallout. And it's the idea that you're going to do it with a limited military strike is concerns me greatly. This is, I don't think this is the same, Peter, as when the Israelis took out the Iraqi nuclear reactor in the early 80s. This is much different.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it's not an isolated spot, for one thing. We're talking about, Sam Gardner talked to us about, in the initial foray, a couple of hundred target points.
Well, that's, and it's called decapitation. I mean, they don't mince words. You know, when you get down into the bowels of the planning operation, it's a kind of a decapitation. They're looking to cut off the head of the snake and then hopefully try to put a more pliant head on the, you know, a new head on the snake that still exists. The problem is they're dealing with religious issues that go deep. They run deep and they run broad, and it could incite every Shia that's on the planet, not just the ones that happen to be in Iran. I mean, the government is, it's, as Peter, you know, Dr. Beeman has said twice, these are really two different entities operating in Iran. And this president is for domestic consumption, but I'm not sure that the targeting agencies get that. And if you start taking out the religious leaders in Iran, that's going to be a whole different deal.
Yeah, think of the cartoons.
Right. mean, that's a can of worms, very poisonous worms. I'm not sure that they want to open.
Yeah.
Well, I'm positive they don't want to open it.
Well, and Scott, when we hear the talk, you know, there's a lot of BS and a lot of smoke and mirrors being thrown out there, so we have to do some deciphering and reading between the lines. But, you know, on the one hand, we hear the administration talk about how flatly we cannot permit Iran to possess the capability of developing a nuclear weapon. They keep changing the language to up the ante. And so that creates a different timeline and the potential for a greater sense of urgency.
Peter, where did we hear that before? Haven't I heard that? Somewhere have a vague sort of unease that I've heard that somewhere before.
I'm sorry, I've been fully neuralized, and I don't recall that information that was offered to us prior to the invasion of Iraq.
Well, I do, and the warning order, if the warning order has already gone out, then the planners, first of all, they'll do a simple search and replace for Iraq and change it to Iran. It takes about 5 minutes, even in a multi, you know, 150, 200-page document. The information from brigades and division and corps planners who have the clearance to high enough to plan this will send their requirements up, and then we know what's going to happen to those. Those will be blunted, or I don't know what, I guess selective hearing. They'll be ignored by Rumsfeld until the right number is offered. It's sort of a auctioning process. From what these guys at Garden has described, it's a sort of a backwards auction where instead of going higher, the commanders go lower. 300,000, and Rumsfeld just looks at them. 250, 225, 185, 120, 128. Yeah, I think 128's right.
Well, that is pretty close to the description offered in the book Cobra 2 relative to Iraq, that Tommy Franks and the generals were very concerned, and the numbers they kept offering were upwards of 300,000. And Rumsfeld had this scenario where he expected U.S. troops to be out of Iraq within 6 months of the time that we invaded. And therefore, he wanted easy in, easy out, didn't want to get burdened down with a lot of infrastructure. Now, that is contradictory, of course, to what many of us see as the ultimate plan to install permanent bases in Iraq. But still, you could draw down the invasion force sharply and still maintain permanent, or what they like to call enduring, bases, since permanent is banned by Congress.
Peter, I thought I cleared that up with you. Those are long-term.
Right.
We remember they came out and said they're not permanent, they're just long-term.
Right, yeah.
But if they go ahead with this plan as it's being leaked or being their people or Gardner was talking about, it's going to create a giant sucking sound and in Iran. And that sucking sound is going to be a tremendous long-term dangerous hatred of the United States if we decapitate the religious leaders of Iran, if we kill them, Peter. This is going to be a pit that I don't think Americans will be safe anywhere on this planet if we do that. I mean, can you imagine any country taking out the religious leaders of the United States from Billy Graham on down? Because we're not going to, you know, split hairs. It's going to be the Pat Robertsons and Jerry Falwells and Billy Graham and Billy Graham's son and all that crank.
Fred Phelps.
Fred, well, see, now Fred is a different story, but
and we'll get to him before the end of the hour.
That guy, yeah, that guy in Colorado Springs, I forgot his name, Focus on the Family.
Dobson.
You know, Dobson, can you imagine the outrage, the long-term hatred, and the desire to pay back a country that did that to this nation and then took out a president and senior members of Congress, et cetera, et cetera?
And you touched on this a couple of minutes ago, that Iran is a much more potent military power than Iraq ever was. And yet, in the discourse about this, Cy Hirsch's reporting is described as a wild speculation. But they don't do anything to dampen speculation about a nuclear option on the table, which is just so bizarre to imagine that we would use a nuclear weapon to try to prevent Iran from developing a nuclear weapon. That just sends a message that, and of course the fallout can cross borders there. We act as if we could drop a bunker buster nuke in Iran and it would pose no fallout threat to neighboring countries.
Well, we have a big enough bunker. You got me doing it now.
Bunker buster nuclear.
We have big enough conventional bunker busters. I don't think we have to go nuke. That's just my opinion. I mean, those are big, and they have what they call time delay fuses. After they impact, they'll drive down, 100 feet below mm-hmm. the surface before they explode. They have a hardened tip. Mm-hmm. So that idea, if that's what they're getting out of, the media's getting, that's fine. But we could do it without nuclear weapons. The problem is, who are we going to kill? We're going to kill a lot of people in the process, and this is supposed to be a just situation. It boggles my mind.
Well, and we also imagine, as you point out, that if we killed these religious leaders, that it would pave the way for regime change, and there would be a popular uprising, and some of the westernized Iranians who chafe at the rule of the mullahs would suddenly, go out in the streets and fight for liberation. But it's much more complicated than that.
I'm pretty confident that if we take out the Iranian military and political leaders, that the remaining people will greet us with rice and rose water, and we can use Iranian oil to pay for all of it.
Well, then, Scott, I think you should contact the White House. They're looking for a backup for the Hayden nomination at CIA. We're going to take a break and continue in just a moment with Scott Dick. If you want to join us, there's still time for you to call at 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. You're in touch with the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that pagan and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of that who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you help this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we have adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government.
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. And I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic while I sneeze because the pollen in the air is, overpowering. Here's Amy Knight.
It sure is, and we have lots of accidents today. It could be caused by pollen. In Monterey, northbound one at Casa Verde Way, an accident involving a taxi cab. Looks like the vehicle struck the center divide, but they're trying to move off to the right-hand shoulder. Highway Patrol arriving on scene. Also in Live Oak, Avatola Road at 7th Avenue, a three-car collision still blocking lanes. And in Salinas, North 101 at John Street, an accident off to the right-hand shoulder. In Felton, northbound line at Kirby Street, a minor crash off to the shoulder. And looks like Highway Patrol just cleared a ladder out of the lane, northbound 101 before Cochran Road. It's time to show Mom just how much you love her. It's time for the Mother's Day sale, and Sears is here to help. Mother's Day sale at Sears, sale ends 5/13/06. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, where we favor progressive views and electric guitars. We continue our conversation with Scott Dick, contributor on military and veterans affairs, and we're joined by Andy in Monterey. Good afternoon, Andy. You're on the air.
How you guys doing today?
Pretty good.
Pretty good, Andy. Listen, I just want to say something. This is probably the first time I'm ever going to have any faith in this administration or this Congress. The entire Middle East hates us right now. Everybody knows that China owns us. Russia's criticizing us because we've been criticizing them. They're in bed with Iran right now. I just don't really see us having any leverage or any kind of backing on this whatsoever by the UN or any other nation in the world.
Well, Andy, I'll just jump in here and say the word squandered. I believe that this administration has squandered the goodwill of the United States in so many parts of the world and in so many different ways. Scott?
Well, Peter, the optimism in me springs eternal, and what I'm hoping is happening is there are diplomats in every corner of the globe talking to their counterparts with, Peter, there's always the country has an operational policy and a public policy, and it's okay if they're different as long as the operational policy isn't illegal. So saber rattling and talking to people at the same time has long been a part of diplomacy. I can only hope that they're completely in bed with their counterparts, and they're spending a lot of time talking about this and trying to put pressure on the Iranians the old-fashioned way by using diplomats. But like I said, that's my optimistic streak.
Well, and what we've seen is, this 18-page letter from Ahmadinejad is it's curious and it's certainly offbeat in the way he lectures Bush from kind of a spiritual basis, trying to connect with Bush's own spirituality. But putting aside the content of the letter, it is a remarkable initiative by the Iranian government, and our administration is just saying, no, who cares? And it does speak to what many believe is this desire not to find any way to engage in diplomacy, but just to isolate Iran into a military corner and then pounce on them. Andy, your comment?
Well, I think that what's going to happen is we're going to isolate ourselves into a corner, and we're going to have the entire world against us. Iran is gaining so much publicity. I mean, this is good publicity that they're gaining. This is not, they're becoming the David of the Goliath, you know what I mean? And the backing that they're getting is not good.
Well, and as Scott pointed out, if we militarily take out the religious leaders in Iran, we will ignite a firestorm in the entire Islamic world that will make this cartoon, the Danish cartoon controversy seem, really minor in comparison.
Yeah, I just don't see how anybody can let this happen. Even people in our own administration let this happen. So
yeah.
That's just my call, and I was hoping to see Scott could give some insight on that. Thank you for the time.
Okay, Andy, good to hear from you today.
All right, bye-bye.
Scott, anything you want to add to that?
Well, I was just sitting there thinking that they're the David, and this, Peter, remember when the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan and how everybody came to the Afghanis' aid because of the big bugaboo, the bear, or the Soviet bear attacking this helpless little country because they threw out their elected government?
Mm-hmm.
It's just so reminiscent of that. It makes me pull my hair out, and I don't have that much hair left to pull out anyway. And Andy, he could. The feelings of isolation, it's just a weird position to be in. That we're in Iraq, we're fighting the civil war there. We're losing troops. We've lost over 2,400 troops, 17,500 wounded. We have 1,600 children, Peter, that have lost parents in Iraq. That's the estimate.
Wow.
And yet, we're rattling the saber. We haven't even finished this one. We didn't finish Afghanistan before we rattled and invaded Iraq. And now we're rattling the saber again. I think, Peter, it's pure midterm political bunk. If we get the country all worried and then about Iran, then we can point, the Republicans can point to the Republicans and say, look, don't change horses in the middle of the stream. Stay with us. We'll get through the Iran thing, and then we'll get to the 2008 elections. It's disgusting, frankly.
Well, on that score, I'm a little less persuaded just because it's a little early to peak the fear bomb, that has the name Iran on it, in terms of the November elections. And also, The administration is unraveling on so many fronts that it's hard to imagine that they can keep the heat on from now all the way till November without some military action. I do have serious fears that they are they're really off the reservation in rational terms, and that they may do something that we would call wagging the dog.
You mean they're nut jobs in charge? You're so polite, Peter. Peter, before we go too far, get too much farther and run out of time, I want to make a distinction here that I'm not sure people are aware of. Can I go back to the senior generals in charge of the Army?
Sure, go right ahead.
We've heard a lot of talk about Tommy Franks this and Tommy Franks that, and that there was what Tommy Franks asked for was different than what Eric Shinseki said. Somehow, the administration has made those two generals look or appear different. In other words, Shinseki was sort of this housekeeper, chief of staff. He's not a really commander. He doesn't command any troops. He's kind of an administrative. He sets the tone for the Army. He's responsible for bringing troops in and training them. Whereas the commander, one of the combatant commanders, central command in this case, you know, he's a warrior, you know, and he's a hero, and he's the smart guy. So we really would listen to Tom Franks before we'd listen to Eric Shinseki. Do you kind of get that impression?
Yeah, I think that they've tried to present Franks as the successor to Schwarzkopf, you know, in popular terms.
Well, I just want to make people aware or help people understand there are no differences between these two generals. Very easily could have been Shinseki that went to Central Command and Franks went to the Chief of Staff. They're all been warriors. These guys were in Vietnam. They've all been commanders. They've been division commanders and, you know, lieutenant generals. You don't get to be where they are as a four-star if you're a slacker or you're prone to missteps or you forgot something, you know, important somewhere along your career.
Yeah.
So the idea that Shinseki didn't know what he's talking about because he's the chief of staff, whereas Tommy Franks knew because he was a combatant commander, is complete nonsense. So I want people to say, well, wait a minute, why are you listening to Franks but you didn't listen to Shinseki?
Yeah, thanks for making that point. Eugenia in Prunedale, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick.
Well, you know, one thing that I think we ought to look at, who's getting decapitated? The United States has been getting decapitated. Iraq's been getting decapitated. And who's standing? Who keeps standing? Where's all of our money gone to?
China.
No, all of our money has disappeared in Iraq, all those billions of dollars, which you could easily build up an invisible army fighting both sides. They could go picked up all those arms that were sitting out in the desert unguarded. Nobody's putting connecting the dots.
All right, Eugenia, connect them for me. I'm trying to follow you.
I think the control of the world won't ever happen unless the United States goes down. And we prove that democracy does not work. Okay, it's looking like that right now because nobody can believe this. This is just absolutely impossible. You can't do this to the United States of America. And we're sitting here watching it, not believing. We are not believing what we see because we believe it's impossible.
You're right. Now, let me make a distinction when I talked about decapitation. That's an expression that the military uses when they talk about taking out, for example, the senior leadership of another army.
Darling, when you take down when you take down the government of the United States and replace it with a bunch of cuckoos, okay, you just decapitated the United States of America.
Okay, I got you.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Don't you think we need to get Shinseki and our top men, we better start talking to some people that understand strategy and can put this together.
All right.
Has been
Eugenia,
going on for a long time.
Eugenia, I really appreciate your comment. We're up against the clock here. Thanks for joining us today.
Okay.
Scott, finally, I wanted to ask you just about the latest on the wayward Reverend Fred Phelps and the way they've been disrupting the funerals of lost veterans from Iraq.
Well, Peter, we've talked about this so many times that Phelps basically goes and hollers at, in ways really disgusting, banners to say, thank God for IEDs and, you know, Americans died because of U.S. used IEDs against their church in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, GodHatesFags.com, et cetera, GodHatesAmerica.com, GodHatesSweden.com, because everybody, they have issues with each one of these countries. So a couple of states, and now the federal government has brought in legislation to prevent demonstrations close to, you know, before and after veterans' funerals.
Right.
And, you know, I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution. I've never reneged on that oath. I've never, you know, and I have a really hard time with those specific pieces of legislation. And the ACLU now is going to file suit against, I believe, Kentucky to fight that. And I don't, you know, if the ACLU came up and they were marching in one direction, I'd be marching with them and then have to split off to go.
Scott Dick, thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Peter, thanks.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Tom Hartman.
When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect frontman for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Lou Mulligano.
We're not mining or trolling through the personal lives of millions of innocent Americans.
Reassurances from President Bush today to reports telephone companies have been handing over to the government the records of tens of millions of telephone subscribers.
Our most important job is to protect the American people from another attack. And we will do so within the laws of our country.
CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod.
Those efforts do include building a database of domestic call records, reportedly from customers of AT&T, Bell South, and Verizon. Ordinary Americans, not suspected of a crime. The idea? Find patterns of telephone calls suggesting terrorist activity.
But New York Congressman Maurice Hinchey says this is as illegal as it can be.
They believe that by cultivating this culture of fear, they can engage in essentially whatever they want to, no matter how viciously it violates the law.
Pennsylvania Republican Senator Arnold Specter wants questions answered.
We're going to call on those telephone companies to provide information to try to figure out exactly what is going on.
Lightning's finally struck in the Kentucky governor's office. A special grand jury's been investigating hiring practices in Governor Ernie Fletcher's administration since last June. Today, the grand jury indicted the governor for criminal conspiracy, official misconduct, and violating the prohibition against political discrimination. All misdemeanors.
The Swedish and European champion Johansson hits Patterson.
They call ringside in 59 when Floyd Patterson lost the heavyweight crown to Ingemar Johansson. Patterson knocked him out in 1960 to be the first to reclaim the heavyweight title and always impressed Joe Frazier.
He was a quiet guy. He walked light, but he carried a big stick. he didn't have too much to say, but, you know, he got the job done.
Patterson died today at 71, Alzheimer's and prostate cancer. Cleveland County Sheriff's deputies are literally piecing together a mystery at Oklahoma's Lake Thunderbird near Norman. A fisherman has found a second foot at a campground of the lake. Sheriff's Captain Doug Blaine says the foot is believed to be a match to another foot found at the Hog Creek campground back in March and appears to be female. How much is a hard rock worth? A lot when it's in the middle of 41 acres off the Vegas Strip and sports a hotel and casino. Chairman and founder Peter Morton will net more than $731 million from Morgan's Hotel Group. Morton founded the brand in 71, sold the chain of cafes in 96, a year after opening the Vegas Hotel and Casino. Says it was just time to take the chips off the table. And across the board tumble today in the Dow, the NASDAQ, and Standard & Poor's. The Dow lost 142, the NASDAQ dropped 48, S&P 500 fell 17. This is CBS News.
Musicians, this weekend, get a Gibson Custom Shop Les Paul, a complete Pro Tools recording rig, or a Pearl Master Series drum kit. And don't even think about payments for 15 months. Get the gear you need now, with no payments and no interest, for over a year. It's Guitar Center's Get the Gear, Don't Pay Till Next Year financing weekend. We're talking 15 months, same as cash, and all at the nation's guaranteed lowest prices. Plus, throw additional gear onto your ticket and get the same great financing deal. Guitar Center's Get the Gear, Don't Pay Till Next Year financing weekend. Don't miss it.
There are infinite dynamics in business. There's the every customer is a repeat customer dynamic, or the pleased to meet you and here's how we can help you dynamic, or the customer is always right even when you know they're wrong dynamic. And to help you master such dynamics, there's Microsoft Dynamics, software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
It's hanging in there at $3 plus a gallon, and CBS News reporter Stephen Coffin says among the cabbies of the desert Southwest, the price of gasoline is increasingly the difference between profit and loss.
The cabbies who serve Tucson's airport said they don't know how much longer they can last as they face the double whammy of low cab fares and high gas prices.
This is day by day, and I'm running on a quarter of a tank now. I might have to ask the customer for a deposit.
He says no one has gas prices more in their face than taxi drivers.
It's just killing us. We're adjusting other ways, like not paying our bills.
Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Tucson.
What are the chances of an Iraqi being elected to the U.S. Congress? In Oklahoma's 5th District, Iraqi native Dr. Johnny Roy is giving it a shot, announcing he'll run in the Republican primary. His platform includes support for the war in Iraq and returning illegals to their home country. The chief of surgery at Edmond Medical Center has lived in the U.S. for about 40 years. I'm Lou Meligano, CBS News.
Are your photos less than picture perfect? Then come into Office Depot today and get a great deal on a new digital camera, just in time for Mother's Day. Office Depot has its largest assortment of digital cameras ever, all featuring the latest technology. So hurry in, because now through Saturday at Office Depot, when you buy a digital camera over $199.99, you'll save $50 instantly.
Taking care of business.
Offer excludes clearance items and camera printer bundles.
Having a safe place to sleep is a universal need. Having a safe way to sleep should be just as important. When used as directed, Tylenol PM is a safe, non-habit-forming way to relieve pain with sleeplessness. In fact, no other OTC pain reliever is safer than Tylenol. Stop. Think. Tylenol PM. Take only as directed.
From the left coast, this is the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone, and your calls or comments are welcome while it is still legal for you to use the phone and express yourself. Be aware that your calls will be listed on your phone bill and may be made available to the National Security Agency. My lines are open. 831-899-5792 or toll free 888-579-2540. A surprising source today, USA Today, which is usually content to give us the full color national weather map, broke this story. The National Security Agency has been secretly collecting the phone call records of tens of millions of Americans using data provided by AT&T, Verizon, and Bell South.
The world won't get no better. We gotta change it. Change it. Just when.
And our unelected president offered this comment today from the White House. Let's listen.
September the 11th, I vowed to the American people that our government would do everything within the law to protect them against another terrorist attack. As part of this effort, I authorized the National Security Agency to intercept the international communications of people with known links to Al-Qaeda and related terrorist organizations. In other words, if Al-Qaeda or their associates are making calls into the United States or out of the United States, we want to know what they're saying. Today, there are new claims about other ways we are tracking down Al-Qaeda to prevent attacks on America. I want to make some important points about what the government is doing and what the government is not doing. First, our intelligence activities strictly target Al-Qaeda and their known affiliates. Al-Qaeda is our enemy, and we want to know their plans. Second, the government does not listen to domestic phone calls without court approval. Third, the intelligence activities I authorized are lawful and have been briefed to appropriate members of Congress, both Republican and Democrat. Fourth, the privacy of ordinary Americans is fiercely protected in all our activities.
Trust me, he says. Do you believe any of this?
Or trolling through the personal lives of millions of innocent Americans. Our efforts are focused on links to Al-Qaeda and their known affiliates. So far, we've been very successful in preventing another attack on our soil. As a general matter, every time sensitive intelligence is leaked, it hurts our ability to defeat this enemy. Our most important job is to protect the American people from another attack. And we will do so within the laws of our country. Thank you.
So perhaps to date, you've been unpersuaded that the surveillance program launched by this president and managed by the National Security Agency isn't a problem for you. Because after all, you don't want calls from Al-Qaeda at your house. And you don't plan to make any calls outbound to Al-Qaeda. And so you say, hey, not my problem. But the president today dissembled in remarkable ways in the statement you just heard. The action paragraph starts, first, our international activities. That was his script, but he misspoke and said our intelligence activities strictly target Al-Qaeda and their known affiliates. Now, there's absolutely no proof of that assertion from this president. He goes on to say, Al-Qaeda's our enemy. We want to know their plans. Second, the government does not listen to domestic phone calls without court approval. Again, we can only take the president's word for it, and his word is worthless. Third, the intelligence activities I authorized are lawful and have been briefed to appropriate members of Congress, both Republican and Democrat. Again, this is a dubious claim from this president. They've been saying all along that all of this is lawful. And when asked for the authorities, they say, oh, you know, the 9/11 authorization and the Constitution. In fact, there is no legal basis for these claims by the president. And then the whopper here, I mean, this is a whopper you can't get at the Burger King drive-through. Fourth, the privacy of ordinary Americans is fiercely protected in all our activities. I think this is a critical day. Because I think that for the first time, millions of Americans will see that this president has reached for too much power and has continued to try to veil his bare-knuckled power grabs in the fear that many people still feel post-9/11. After all, he opened his statement today with the phrase, after September 11th, I vowed to the American people that our government would do everything within the law to protect them. And I think he's running out of rope here. But I'd like to hear from you. My lines are open. And you can talk about any subject you want, from any point of view, from anywhere you decide to call from. But to me, this is one of the most significant issues we have encountered. And in some ways, it's hard to make that claim because it's mind-boggling the way this administration has played fast and loose with the Constitution, fast and loose with the congressional oversight responsibilities, and we have to blame it squarely on the Republicans because they control all three branches of government. But neither can we declare that our Democratic leaders have no complicity. Now, I'm pleased to see that Senator Feinstein has modified her position. You heard me hammering her on Monday because before the Hayden nomination was even really settling in, Dianne Feinstein issued a statement saying, A, that she thinks he's a pretty good guy, and B, that this confirmation process should not be derailed into an investigation into the NSA surveillance. And I'm grateful that the senator appears to have reconsidered, because her very active press spokesman, Howard Gantman, only emailed me 6 times today, but this one came in early this morning. Senator Feinstein gave comments to the Judiciary Committee on a bill by Arlen Specter, the committee chairman, relating to the NSA. And she said, quote, I believe we're on our way to a major constitutional confrontation on Fourth Amendment guarantees of unreasonable search and seizure. I think this is always also going to present a growing impediment to the confirmation of General Hayden to be CIA director, and for her, that is very regretted. She goes on, the refusal to brief the entire Intelligence Committee of both houses is actually indefensible in view of the way the situation is emerging. The discussion not to go for FISA court warrants is inexcusable. As more and more of the program drifts into the public domain, it becomes increasingly difficult to believe that any potential or actual terrorist doesn't know about it. Americans are coming to know about the program without any context, either historic or programmatic. I believe that is extraordinarily dangerous because they are left to deduce on their own, perhaps incorrectly, what the program is. Therefore, they make improper judgments. There is one basic in all of this, and that is domestic surveillance of Americans, regardless of who is on one end of the phone or where they are, must be by individual warrant or by a court on a showing of probable cause. That's the exclusive standard in FISA. The administration has chosen to disregard this law. For the life of me, I don't understand why. Well, Senator, with all due respect, and I do have respect for Senator Feinstein, even though I often disagree with her, you really need to step back and get a grip. You are far too wrapped up in the framing and the thinking of this administration. And I'm not inviting you to be purely partisan in a cruel or destructive way. But I am asking you to stand up for us, the citizens of California, who did not ask to have our phone records trolled through. That's the verb the president used. And who do not believe that we are safer or better off for this kind of police state creeping fascism. All right, I've said my piece. Let's go to a break here, and then I want to open up the phone lines, and I want to hear from you today. Tell me your thoughts on the way this administration has trampled the Constitution and permitted this incredible spying operation to be conducted on American citizens. Despite the lies of the president, we know that's what's going on. My lines are open for you. Let me know what you think. 831-899-5792 for the Central Coast. Elsewhere, call me toll-free. 1-888-579-2540. You got it? 888-579-2540. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Your calls are next, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Norma, just who is this Robert Owen who is running for sheriff of Monterey County?
Robert Owen lives in Soledad, and he has 30 years of experience in law enforcement. Robert Owen is a Monterey County jail sergeant who has dedicated his life to protect and serve every Monterey County resident. Robert Owen is a devoted and loving father of 5 children. I should know because Robert Owen is my husband, and he will be the finest sheriff Monterey County has ever had.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Imagine how nice it would be if your mortgage broker knew as much about the ins and outs of specialized lending programs as your trusted mechanic knows about your car. A mortgage broker willing to take the time to open the hood of your financial strengths while checking under the engine for costly money leaks. Make sure your mortgage broker has the experience, integrity, and know-how to provide you the optimal financial tune-up for your particular circumstances, giving you staying power over the long haul and the capacity to take advantage of life's opportunities as they chance to appear.
Hi, I'm Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage in Salinas. Let me help you fine-tune your future real estate plans. The price of gasoline is through the roof, but interest rates are still near all-time lows. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Give me a call today at 757-0436. 757-0436. I'm Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage and looking forward to working with you.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic, and there are some problems out there. Amy Knight has the lowdown.
Well, it looks like things are starting to get a little bit better, Peter. If you're traveling through Live Oak, Capitola at 7th Avenue, no trucks finally arrived on scene to clear out a three-car crash, so it looks like it's moving better in the area of Capitola Road as you're traveling towards 7th Avenue. Also in Monterey, northbound 1 after Casa Verde Way, we had a solo vehicle accident involving a taxi cab that struck the center divide. That accident's clear, but traffic still may be heavy coming out of Carmel toward Monterey on northbound Highway 1, so delays. And North 101 at John Street, that accident also cleared. So much better news if you're traveling toward that area as well. Looking to buy or sell a home, get up to 1% of the sale price back at closing. Go to buysellcashback.com to find out more. Get paid to buy or sell your home. Go to buysellcashback.com today.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Can somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm delighted you are. The Free Speech Zone is wide open for you. I want to hear your thoughts about the latest revelations of what the NSA is doing to monitor your phone calls. And there's a line open for you right now, 831-899-5792 and 888-579-2540. There are some people speaking up, both Democrat and Republican, in Washington, and it does appear that this is going to shape up as a major problem for Michael Hayden's nomination to head the CIA. And some congressional leaders are saying they're going to call in telephone company executives and demand to know on what basis they disclosed this information to the NSA.
And I already have an advance copy of the testimony of the CEOs of AT&T, Verizon, and a couple of other phone companies.
We don't know.
Hi, my name is Jeannie, and I work for the phone company.
We don't know.
Hello, I'm Larry, and I work for the phone company.
We don't know.
I'm Nancy, and I don't know what I'm doing.
We don't know what we're doing.
When you work for the only phone company in town, you don't have to know what you're doing. And there's really nothing anybody can do about it. You can try to complain, but you probably won't get through. The phone company.
We don't know what we're doing.
To your calls, Karen and Morgan Hill, thanks for holding. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter B., how are you today?
Well, I'm a little disturbed.
I can hear that. I'm sorry I am too, but it's kind of like a day as usual, isn't it, for this administration and all the Bush babies?
Well, I mean, I'm not shocked by this. I'm only disturbed that they have lied to us. And here, this is revealed by USA Today, which is almost a joke of a newspaper. And the president stands up and once again just lies to us.
Well, you know something, Peter? I'm disgusted as well, but it just seems to be the status quo. And there's so many things when people start waking up to see what's really gone on in this country. There are so many things that it's just overwhelming.
And what will it take to wake people up? Is this it?
Well, now I personally have chosen health as my main issue because I feel that a big reason that so much of this gets by so many people is because they're sick. And it's like so incredulous to me that we can talk about all the food toxins and they still continue. They don't do that in Europe. And also, today and tomorrow are the last days that any of us can call up to make a comment because there's now a proposal to amend the National Organic Program so that they can have over 500 funky things in the food and they can have baby cows eating genetically modified foods mm-hmm. before they're moved on to dairy. And it's like, it's crazy. And we have 2 days to vote on this. So, I mean, I really believe that when people are healthier and they're feeling better, better decisions. So let's keep them poisoned so they can't think for themselves.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Karen, but in my view, these issues are not not on par. And to me, we have this fundamental, unconstitutional activity by our government. Sure, I'm annoyed at the way they're handling organic foods, food labeling. They're trying to water down the regulations that would essentially neutralize California's Proposition 65. There's a lot of that going on. That's why I call them the wrecking crew. But this is such a fundamental and critical issue to the future of our country. And to the Constitution that this president swore his allegiance to and that we believe in as the roadmap for the management of our government. And we really, I want to hear that the sleepers have woken up and they recognize that we are on the verge of a police state run by a fascist regime. And I say that as calmly as I can because if you say it in a shrill voice, people roll it off the shoulder. But
we
really are at deep risk here. Just today it was announced that the Justice Department has ended its attempt to investigate the NSA because the NSA won't cooperate with it. Now, these are two branches of the Bush administration, and they're just throwing up smoke and telling the American people to suck wind. And I'm sorry, we're not going to tolerate it.
And Halliburton keeps building their concentration camps.
Yes, they do.
You know, I just think, unfortunately, that we have not yet hit bottom. And sometimes you have to do that in order to turn things around. Also, with this administration and wanting to hold on to power in the elections, you know, who knows what's going to happen in October, just so that we can maintain the Republican idea of power. And it is totally incredulous to me that all these things are going on and all these people are still sleepwalking through it. So, you know, I really applaud you for what you're doing. I know that it gets difficult, but at least you still have the freedom to talk about it.
So far.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call. And do keep up your good work on health and food issues. I'm not diminishing those in any way, but this is just head and shoulders above so much of what we're fighting for, and we can't lose sight of that. Thanks for the call from Morgan Hill today. More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. There are a couple of lines available if you want to join the conversation. 831-899-5792 or toll free 888-579-2540. In the next half hour, we'll tip you off to new ethics problems now involving Representative Jerry Lewis, the powerful California congressman. And also, there's now an ethics complaint against James Sensenbrenner, the head of the House Judiciary Committee, the meanest dog on the immigration reform issues, and we'll talk about that. Coming up in the next half hour, your calls and comments are welcome here in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
This Sunday, many of you will celebrate Mother's Day. On Childhood Matters radio show, we'll focus on stepmoms. I'm Nurse Rona, and I invite you to call us and tell us what's terrific about the stepmom in your family. Let's celebrate these often unsung heroes.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851. The Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and we're all under surveillance. So look, they're following us from over there. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if they're monitoring your phone records, it's fair to say there is a spy in your house of love. Or toll free 888-579-2540. It's the Free Speech Zone, and Julie in Carmel is next. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Julie.
Hey, Peter B. I'm Julie of the tapes, by the way.
Oh, Julie B., thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Julie taped the real-time coverage of the news on 9/11 when I was out of the country and was kind enough to ship me her videotapes, and I will review them when I have a chance.
For keeps.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm coming to you from Carmel on a tin can and a string, so hopefully I'm not making my way into the database.
Well, we can't be sure.
Hey, I think there's a burgeoning business. What really bothers me is that every single justification that Bush has had has been predicated on the events of 9/11, and that is why I'm constantly pounding 9/11, because unless we start to open this Pandora's box, he can stand up on his podium and justify basically whatever he wants to do, because he uses 9/11 as the focal point for all of his activities. And 9/11 is, well, I'm not even going to go there because it's too big an issue. But
well, go ahead and go there. I'll go there with you.
Well, I mean, you know, Hitler burned down his own
Reichstag.
Yes. And, you know, events are created to cause public reaction, public support, and doggone it, I'm really tired of people being so skittish about this. It's time that people were, got a little courageous and said, okay, he's willing to do all of these things. Maybe he was willing to do something else to get people to fall in line behind him. Maybe, you know, complicity or negligence or whatever he was willing to do, we really, if we don't do that, then we're going to sort of blithely accept what he does because we say, well, you know, it's a different world after 9/11. And
Julie, we have a problematic political regime in Washington. We have a very weak media that Stephen Colbert showed up for its misdeeds and shortcomings in a dramatic way recently.
Yep.
But we cannot lift the blame from the American people.
Oh, absolutely not.
Because, Julie, you and I have found the information in Loose Change 9/11, in David Ray Griffin's books, and from other sources that clearly show that while we don't know what happened, we know that what we've been told didn't happen the way they told us it happened.
And the thing is, it's so easy to find. And pretty much, I would say, 85% of the American public at this point has access to the Internet. It's so easy to find, and yet people are turning a blind eye because we really don't
want to. What do we do about this? Because even very smart people, and I'm not going to out this person, but a guy who I deeply respect, who we quote on this program from time to time, wrote a piece on his blog the other day and just dismissed those of us who raise questions about 9/11. And I sent him an email and I said, hey, you know, I just interviewed a general, William Berman. I'm sorry, he's not a general. He's a retired colonel. I don't want to misstate the facts. But this is a guy who flew 101 missions in Vietnam, a guy who was knee-deep in Reagan's Star Wars program. He is not one of us, you know, lefty loonies.
And he flatly said on this program that NORAD failed and nobody's been held accountable, that the Pentagon scene is not believable, and that at minimum Building 7 was detonated, if not all three of the towers that came down at the World Trade Center that day. And yet people just want to say, oh, that couldn't be true. And I know it's difficult. I know it requires a kind of leap of faith and a disconnect from reality. But you just said it, Julie. These people are capable of atrocities on a gross and massive scale.
There is no limit. There is no limit for them to achieve their ends. And you said something very important. I was in naval intelligence for 6 years, and NORAD never stands down. Never stands down. They are the planes that are set to be scrambled in a matter of minutes. If we have an attack on the United States, they were ordered on the morning of 9/11 to stand down. That is unprecedented, and they were ordered to stand down. Now, why in the world would they be ordered from the top? I think it was Cheney, to stand down. That's what bothers me the most, is that it's glaring, and yet, I don't know. I mean, I tell people, I talk about it all the time, and I am not afraid to talk.
Good for you. Well, we've just got to keep going, and eventually people are going to say, wow, you know, I thought those crackpots were crackpots, but they actually figured it out before I did. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.
Up next, Sherry in West Haven. Thanks for your call. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B., it's Paula in Eureka.
Okay, Paula.
That's all right. Listen, I know you went off on Dianne Feinstein on Monday, and you shared that press release. And I wanted to thank you for that, because I used that today. I did call her office with this latest news from USA Today.
Amazing. The Mac paper comes through.
And I was able to use that press release that you gave us that information to articulate my outrage, what was going on. And I said, that sounded like something straight out of the RNC, and that, you know, she just said he needed to just, you know, resign his commission and then everything. They just needed to tweak that program and it would be just fine.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, and he's the architect of this program.
Mm-hmm.
And what really got me going was when I heard that, you know, the president saying that he's doing everything within the law. And I said, well, of course it's within the law, because we already know that if it's not, he just does a signing statement and subverts the intent.
Yeah.
Of everything. So it's really outrageous. And I said, you know, they need to cut the funding for this. That's really the only thing, you know, that I can think of.
Wow. That's something that had not yet occurred to me.
Well, Senator Specter had said that he was going to cut the purse strings a while back. So I called him at the beginning of the week before all of this, just to encourage him that was really, there was no oversight. And it really is a constitutional crisis to me. And so I just wanted to thank you for sharing those press releases, because it was very helpful to me today when I spoke with the gentleman, and he was quite defensive, you know, and then I heard
later. Well, the people who answer the phone there are usually interns.
Yes, yes.
They just take a message, but sometimes they argue back. Yeah.
That wasn't what she said. And I said, well, that's basically, you know, what the reading that I heard, you know. And I said, you know, isn't this, and he said, no, she's, and then he said he kind of had backpedaled. So anyway, I just thought I would thank you for sharing those press releases.
Well, and thank you for your activism. I love it, Paula.
All right,
I really
later.
Appreciate that.
Later.
And hey, why don't we propose to Senator Feinstein that the next time you or I get caught speeding, that she could sponsor legislation or a resolution to change the speed limit to, you know, 5 miles above what you and I were clocked at.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Absolutely. I totally concur with that, Peter B.
All right, Paula.
Thanks. Bye.
Now to El Otro, Pedro B. It's Peter B. and Salinas. Welcome to the show.
He dropped. I told you that.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, I can't read the whole screen at once. Sorry. I believe Ed in Santa Cruz would be next. Hello, Ed.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Ed Porter.
Yes.
Councilman, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well.
Nice to talk to you. It's been a while.
Yes, it has. You know, I've been thinking a lot about talk radio, and especially our special brand of progressive talk radio. And I've been wondering if we're not sort of painting ourselves into an invisible corner.
Okay.
I'm not sure that I know what to do about it. But when you listen to the other, that old style radio, they don't talk about these things.
Mm-hmm.
And you've mentioned that before.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, you know, this is not a new phenomenon. I've been listening to the talk radio for 35 years or something like that. And, you know, it gets to be 6 o'clock and the program's over and, you know, it's off to the next idea or the next activity or whatever. But, you know, it's almost like talk radio has a missing chromosome or something. And and that would be direct action.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never really heard, every once in a while you hear about, actually mostly the right-wingers, they have a, maybe some direct action program going. But we don't. And, you know, there's an occasional event that we line up behind or something like that. But I wonder if there shouldn't be a program that's part of a Commonwealth Club or part of a monthly political club meeting or something like that where you actually then go and execute on some ideas
mm-hmm.
instead of just the talk.
Well, I think you make a good point. Number one, you are correct that the right is organized, and people like Dobson or Limbaugh can basically just suggest to their listeners that today's the day you ought to call Capitol Hill or fax or email, and thousands of people will lemming-like follow through. And we've attempted, I think, MoveOn.org is as close as we come. People for the American Way do have an action memo that goes out. I'm on a list of some AFL-CIO organizations that will occasionally, you know, send out a memo or an alert about a specific piece of legislation. But I take your point that we are not as well organized for the follow-through and that the right does benefit from the troops that they can get to speak up when they're given the cue.
And if I look at how we did in, let's say, the 2004 election, we were aware and we were talking about all the potential problems. We were aware that things could go bad in this election, and then it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, isn't it terrible? And we're still saying it.
Yeah,
so,
and Kerry didn't pursue, you know, any post-election remedies. It took the Libertarian and Green Party candidates
right.
in
that's
Ohio
right.
to fund and authorize the partial recount that actually did occur.
So I'm just thinking all of our listeners, they're all our friends, and, you know, there's counterparts like us all over the country. We ought to be looking at this 2006 time span, we still got plenty of time, and wondering and asking ourselves and believing that we will do something different.
Yeah.
What will we do different this time?
Well, Ed, let's put that question to our listeners and see if other activists or people who'd like to be more active have some ideas about how we can coalesce around this proposal you've made.
I'll be listening.
All right. Thanks for the call, Ed. Good to hear from you.
Thanks.
More of your calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. There's room for you today, 831-899-5792. Or if you'd prefer, call the National Security Agency. Sorry, I don't have their number. My toll-free line is 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
Tom Hartman.
So today, Alberto Gonzalez comes out and says that he's been watching child porn. And he describes it extremely graphically. In fact, so graphically that, frankly, I don't want to quote the Attorney General.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
It reminds me of Ed Meese. He created this Meese Commission on Pornography. And he came out and announced that he had watched over 800 hours of pornography. And they were convinced that watching pornography destroys people's minds. Then, Ed, why don't you check yourself into a hospital?
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to the designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic one more time. Here she is, Metro Traffic Superstar Amy Knight.
Well, Peter, still really busy out there. Southbound 1 before 41st Avenue. A major injury accident involving a motorcyclist down in the roadway has emergency crews, paramedics, CHP all on scene, but traffic very heavy as you make your way out of Santa Cruz and into Capitola. So expect delays tonight. Looks like we've cleared a stalled car northbound 1 north of Soquel out of the lanes into the center divide and had blown a tire. So that's much better news. But southbound 101 south of Cochran Road, we have a new two-car crash to report there. And this report brought to you by Realty World. If you're looking to move up or scale down, look to your Realty World broker for intake service and experience. Realty World, where the right agent makes all the difference in the world. RealtyWorldNCA.com. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thank you, Amy. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. And your phone records will be examined by the government.
Words came down the line, just a few words at a time. Meaning it was clear, there was no sound of fear. The scenes that they described were sad, you couldn't cry. The journey is just too long. But lies and deception, they move in one direction, and then in the end, you lose. Lies and deception, they move in one direction, and then in the end, you lose.
Our music of the moment from the Peter B. Collins Tax Deductible Music Archives by The Stranglers. It's called Lies and Deception Move in One Direction, and it's a downward spiral. You've heard about Duke Cunningham, pled guilty, sentenced to 8 years in jail. We learned today that he's refusing to cooperate with prosecutors who want to know more about Brent Wilkes and the other contractors who bribed him, and who'd like to know more about the party suites, the hookers, and poker games in Washington, and whether any malfeasance, misfeasance, or other kind of feasance occurred there. And the shoes continue to drop. Today, the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington organization filed a complaint at the Justice Department against Representative Jerry Lewis, Republican from San Bernardino part of California. He is, of course, the very powerful chair of the House Appropriations Committee, and they have pumped lots of our taxpayer money out of there to cronies and friends over the last few years. One of them is a guy named Bill Lowry. Lowry is a former Republican congressman from Southern California, and he's now a lobbyist. He and his partners and his firm's clients are responsible for fully 37% of the political contributions that Jerry Lewis's PAC has received over the last 6 years. And what's the payback? Well, hundreds of millions of dollars in federal projects have gone to clients of Bill Lowry. So that's one investigation that has been launched. You got to add that to Pombo, Doolittle, Ney of Ohio, and their respective staff members. And that's not all. Now there is a complaint against the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. That is one James Sensenbrenner of Wisconsin. And again, Crew has sent a letter to the Department of Justice asking for an investigation to see if Sensenbrenner violated the law by soliciting a trip to Germany and Liechtenstein from an organization called the International Management and Development Institute.
A Milwaukee newspaper reported this week that Sensenbrenner asked that group that brings together politicians and corporate executives for a European trip that had been canceled to be rescheduled because he felt so strongly about going on the trip. And then they gave him a week-long trip to Berlin and Liechtenstein just for the congressman and his wife. The trip had been canceled because of the Jack Abramoff scandal, but Sensenbrenner doesn't care. And as you know, in the tepid ethics reform that the House passed last week, they banned this kind of lobbyist or think tank or nonprofit-funded travel for members of the House through the end of this year. That's real ethics reform. Jake in Arcata, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. Hello, Jake. Are you there? Well, we're looking for Jake. Call us back, Jake.
Peter.
Oh,
Peter.
There you are. I got you, Jake. Go ahead.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Good.
Hey, sorry about that. I was hanging on. I guess, you know, something wrong with the phone. Anyways, hey, you know, it's probably Benny from the NSA.
He's our man.
Yeah, he is. You know, speaking of the NSA, I think Michael Hayden's nomination is going the way of Harriet Myers, and I'm glad to hear about that. And let me tell you, you know, these lying, corrupt Republicans are taking their crimes against the Republic to an altogether new level. And, you know, for all the listeners down there in Phoenix, you need to call your Senator John Kyle and demand his resignation. I just saw that man's response to the illegal NSA spying program, and it was, well, you know, we're in the middle of a war, so, you know, spying on tens of millions of innocent Americans is okay. We don't need a Bill of Rights anymore. The Fourth Amendment may very well be the most important amendment in our Constitution, Peter. We know, and Michael Hayden, the guy who Bush picked to be head of the CIA, actually got on network television said that the Fourth Amendment, the probable cause standard, was not a part of the Fourth Amendment. This is the guy who was running the NSA during the illegal spying program. Probable cause is the standard, and if they don't have probable cause, they have no legal authority to be spying on anybody, any citizen of this country.
But Jake, 9/11 changed everything, and Bush led off his dissembling statement today, and the very first words out of his mouth were, 9/11.
Yeah, and you and I, Peter, both know what really happened on 9/11 to at least some extent. And, you know, people out there who want to know, Loose Change at loosechange911.com. It's a movie you can watch for free. Go check it out. But let's get back to these lying Republicans. You know, look at Bush. Like he said today, they're only spying on Al-Qaeda and their known affiliates. And remember what his first Attorney General, John Ashcroft, said in his defense of the Patriot Act in front of the Congress. He said that if you oppose the Patriot Act, you're aiding the terrorists. Dick Cheney has said on dozens of occasions I'm aware of that if you oppose Bush and Cheney, you're aiding Al-Qaeda. So according to the Republicans, if you're opposed to the Bush administration, you are an Al-Qaeda affiliate.
Jake. Just hold on a minute. You know, somebody's got to speak up for the man who can't shoot straight. And here you are attacking Dick Cheney again. And I'm going to tell you what Cheney would say if he weren't secured at an undisclosed location right now. If you don't like it here in America, go to Kazakhstan. That's a great democracy, and I was just there last week.
Chinese kind of country, exactly. Yeah, you know, where people have no rights. Yeah. Well, you know, guess what, Republicans? This is America. Whether you like it or not, the people of America are about to ready to stand up in the November elections and send you Republicans where you belong, back to the private sector. And that's where these Republicans are going, Peter.
I hope you're right. Thank you, Jake. Eugenia in Prunedale. Hello, Eugenia. You're on the air.
Hi. Earlier, the last hour,
yeah,
you said that we were deploying our carriers over to the Persian Gulf.
That's right. There are three of them that are assembling there over the next few weeks.
Okay. And the Persian Gulf would be like being trapped at Pearl Harbor. And we know, and they know, that Russia has sold Iran missiles that can just blow up those carriers. And we've been warned that if we hit Iran, they'll hit Israel. Now, we cannot let our fleet be sitting ducks in the Persian Gulf, and there's no way they can get out fast enough before they'll be hit.
You are correct. It's a cul-de-sac.
There's thousands of men on those ships. Thousands. Now, they think, hey, that might be the October surprise. If we have enough of our sailors killed, okay, then everybody will jump up and go the wrong way with Bush. We can't let him do that. Somebody's got to get out to the whole country and say, hey, don't let our fleet get in there and get trapped. This is bad. We cannot do this any longer. We by being silent, we agree to what Bush is doing.
Well, not I.
Well, that's me either. I'm telling you what, I'm figuring somebody's going to come get me any day. All right? But hey.
Well, you know, we voluntarily turn all our call records over to the NSA. So.
Honey, let me tell you something. I think I've been on their list a long time anyway. I've been watching this and raising so much hell with the government for the last 30 years. Okay? And that's
no
joke.
Darling, can I call you sugar? Is that all right, honey?
That's fine. That's sorry about the southern expression.
I love it. I love it. You can call me honey or sugar or sweetie, anything you want.
Sugar,
but
sugar,
I got to go right now, Eugenia, because Trigger's here.
Oh, great.
All right. We'll catch you tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Peter B. Collins Show will be coming your way. And I hope you're listening then. Thanks for joining me today.
Happy trails to you until again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song. And bring...
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Milliano. Reassurances today from President Bush.
The privacy of ordinary Americans is fiercely protected in all our activities.
Mr. Bush neither confirmed nor denied a USA Today story about the government requesting and getting phone records on tens of millions of Americans. Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter.
The danger is that privacy is being invaded.
And he wants hearings on Capitol Hill hauling in phone companies.
When you have millions of people, according to the report, and billions of telephone calls, there's a fundamental issue of privacy.
Reporter Leslie Cauley broke the story.
This is a buckshot across America approach to gathering information. And again, we're talking billions and billions of call records, and that is a key distinguisher here.
The ayes are 54, the nays are 44. The conference report is agreed to.
Next stop, the desk of President Bush, where he promises to sign it, a $70 billion package of tax cuts. The Senate this afternoon gave final approval to the measure that will extend lower rates for investors, save billions for families with above-average incomes, and continue adjustments on the alternative minimum tax. After months of partisan maneuvering, Senate passage of sweeping immigration legislation is virtually assured by Memorial Day. The details from CBS News correspondent John Harchie.
The Senate's immigration bill stalled before Easter in a procedural dispute. Now Republican leader Bill Frist and Democratic leader Harry Reid have devised a plan to proceed, including debate on amendments and how to choose who will compromise with the House.
The outline by the leaders here give us a framework where we can move ahead.
Massachusetts Democrat Edward Kennedy backs comprehensive reform that includes a way for illegal immigrants here to earn citizenship, something the House bill lacks. So Kennedy says to get the full Congress to agree on immigration reform,
we need the president to become involved.
John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
From longshoremen to truck drivers, 750,000 of them would be affected by a proposed new Homeland Security rule. It would require anyone with free access to secure parts of U.S. seaports carry a photo ID, including fingerprints. At Holdenville High School in Oklahoma, a graduating senior is going nose-to-nose with school officials. Student Mike Luking recently graduated from Marine boot camp. He's